example, during the mission here with Swarovski, we will have 13 Polish experiments that will be flying. It's not only about the science, it's also building industrial capability in our member states, gaining support for our exploration program, so these missions can be highly successful for ESA and for the member states that decides to implement them.
And does it also grow the pool of astronauts in a unique way? What are you finding as the pool is growing?
Well, the pool is growing a little bit, of course. The project astronauts, after their mission, they go back to their normal job, but of course they remain astronauts, they remain advocates for space, for education, for STEM. This is also a big part of this mission, inspiration that we want to bring. If we want to fight climate change, for example, in the future, we need more and more engineers, we need more scientists, and this is needed for our society. So inspiration is also a very important part of this mission.
So tell us a little bit about Swarovski. Why was he chosen? Why was he chosen for this mission? What do you think he's going to bring to the table during the mission and after?
Well, Swarovski, in the first place, of course, is an excellent scientist. He has worked a lot in CERN as an engineer and a scientist, so he brings that aspect, of course, with him. He has a great personality. If you see pictures of Swarovski, he's always smiling, so that is also something that he can bring to a crew, but also to the European Astronaut Corps. And then again, in Poland, he's really a hero, he's really a star, and that's really great for the young kids that can look up to him and that can also invest their careers in science and in technology.
So you think it's going to make a huge impact in Poland. What do you think it's going to do for exploration for the young people of the nation of Poland?
Well, I think it's good for exploration and also for ESA, by the way, because through the mission of Swarovski, Poland is also engaging more in exploration, engaging more in the European Space Agency, bringing extra funds to us, so that's great. And again, we will build up industrial capability in Poland, which we all also need. If we want to go to a low Earth orbit economy, for example, we will have to build up more actors, more players that can work and that can contribute to this economy. And therefore, as well, this is a great endeavor. And of course, we will need young people in the future to do this. And that's why Swarovski and this mission will be a great success, I believe.
Thank you so much, Frank. Thank you for being here. Good luck to ESA. Congratulations to ESA and the country of Poland. And I can't wait for this wonderful evening. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, let's move on to our next crew member. It's Tibor Kapu. It's an exciting time for his country and his mission, and I want to tell you a little bit about it. This Central European nation is among those who have more recently turned their attention to spaceflight, adopting a formal strategy to get a Hungarian into space for the first time. I'm joined now by Gyula Sereny, a fellow Hungarian astronaut who has been selected alongside Tibor in HUNOR's first class of astronauts. Thank you so much for being here, Gyula. You and Tibor were selected around the same time. Tell us what that moment was like.
Thank you. It's a great honor to be here. Well, it's a really interesting story because we had a really long selection process, and after the selection, we had 14 months of basic training in Hungary. And even in these 14 months, we've been to the U.S. and we've met Axiom people. We've been to Axiom, and they also were part of our selection. And after that, our selection happened from the two of us. From the four of us, two of us were selected to do the mission-specific training we are here right now and doing right now, preparing for this mission, actually. So this was an amazing journey for us.
So the program, the HUNOR program, only kicked off in 2021. That's a really fast trip to this moment that we're at now. Tell us what that was like. Do you think that this is right on track? Are you excited for the progress that you're seeing?
Well, we had to do it really fast because we were not planning for Axiom 4 specifically. We were planning to do a mission. And but Axiom 4 happened, and so we had to
jump on it.
It was really, really intense for us. But the basic training were finished, and we could continue our training. But we didn't have a lot of time between selection and the Axiom 4 training. We had around just 1 month of period when we were selected and waiting for a mission.
And what stands out to you from that training, from the AX4 training? What stands out? Something that was really bonding? Something that surprised you?
From the bonding perspective, if you ask for that, I would say that our NOAA training were amazing, which was when we were at Mexico with the
That's what Papa said, that he loved being
young. He did say that.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. That was amazing. But it's a great analogy of being on the space station. You know, you are not a very well comfortable position. With the crew, you have to solve problems. It's really like being on the space station, and so I really enjoyed that part. But we've done so many things. It was an amazing journey.
Tibor has a very intense mission when he's on the ISS, lots of things to do. What's he going to bring to the table when he's on the ISS?
So from Hungary, all of the experiments we are going up there is Hungarian experiments, and it's like a really good opportunity for Hungarian researchers to show and to get their experiments conducted on the ISS in space. And it's like he's going to be doing radiation experiments. He's going to be growing plants in space.
So many things.
He's got amazing.
I'm joined now by Axiom Space's Chief Strategy Officer, Matt Onler. Matt, thanks for being here. Where else would you be, though?
No, thanks for having me. This is a fantastic day. It's going to be a fantastic launch site.
So let's talk about Peggy Whitson. Tough question. Can you describe her in four words?
Sure. You hit me with a hard question right off the bat. I'm going to go with gracious space professional leader.
Pretty good. That's pretty excellent. When Peggy's not preparing to go to space or recovering from coming back from space, what is she doing in the office day to day?
Yeah, she's actually very helpful. Her and our other astronauts for Axiom are really helpful in helping us design our space station. And actually, she gets right back to it after her last mission. It was only about a week, and I found her in the lab helping engineers. We were designing the payload rack. And those sort of insights from someone who's actually been there and had worked in microgravity are really, really important and valuable for our engineers.
And I know just walking around the office, you feel like, it's Peggy Whitson. And then she's working alongside you, and she's giving you great advice, showing you how to be a leader in every single moment. So it's really wonderful to have her. But also watch her on a mission on the ISS. What excites you about commercial space travel?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that excite me about commercial space, but one of the things that I think is going to be so amazing and really change the world is the things we're going to be able to make in space that you can't otherwise make. You know, we're flying over 60 experiments on this flight. A few of those are repeats where we've flown this particular team on all four of our missions. And by leveraging microgravity and how it affects cancer tumor growth and stem cell growth, they're discovering novel treatments for cancer. I think those sort of things are just one of many, many examples that are going to occur once we have a commercial space station up there.
So this is our fourth mission. Wonderful to see all the growth from 1, 2, 3, and now 4. What are the opportunities for international partners, for foreign nations?
Yeah, I really think that we're becoming the world's space agency and really helping lots of countries merge in space. This particular mission is a great example where all three of these countries have flown one astronaut before, but it was all 40 years ago, so almost two generations for these countries. And so it's very, very impactful and very, very humbling to be able to help these countries. And one of the things that I Googled this morning was there are 350 million children in India under age 15. So there are more children in India under age 15 than there are people in the United States. I hope all 350 million of those watch the launch and are inspired by it and want to get into space and exploration and engineering and math.
I know that there are watch parties happening right now all around the world. Unique bond in the midst of shared challenges. And as they discovered at NOAA, this one is no different.
As you heard from Papa and Jula, Knowles stood out amongst all of their training. They faced days of harsh winds and challenging weather conditions that limited the range of their expedition at Knowles. But afterwards, their instructor commented how extraordinarily this crew collectively exuded a sense of joy throughout. In spite of whatever came at them, they still maintained this attitude, overcoming each challenge with a smile and a willingness to lift each other up. So to celebrate their unique bond, the crew chose a baby swan as their zero-G indicator, which it named Joy. And as luck would have it, we have our very own Joy, the baby swan, to serve as our microgravity indicator. And, yeah, as luck has it, we have a full dose of gravity.
Bummer for us.
So, but we should
As you might imagine, astronaut preparation can be extensive, from training that is specific to each crew member's role to learning SpaceX protocols, space station systems, and preparing for the science and outreach activities they'll be conducting in space. Private astronaut training is rigorous. In addition to the work in the field like they did through NOLS, the AX4 crew spent about 35 days training inside Dragon. To prepare them for flight, our teams at SpaceX spent the last several months teaching the crew about orbital mechanics and how to live in Dragon. While this was, of course, more of a review for Peggy Whitson, for the rest of the crew, this will be their first time flying to space. The training program includes nearly 100 different lessons covering all aspects of flight. The crew spent time inside our Dragon training spacecraft to run simulations of ascent, space station rendezvous, and reentry. They also spend time at the launch pad in our suit-up room and working through emergency procedures that would be necessary in the unlikely event of a pad abort.
And in addition to the critical training from SpaceX associated with those dynamic phases of ascent and return, Axiom Space facilitated a host of training efforts over the last 10 months to ensure the Axiom 4 crew and all those who support them are ready for their mission on station. Kicking off efforts at Axiom Space headquarters in August of 2024, this crew immediately began to familiarize themselves with the range of teams and systems and operations they would need to become proficient with in order to succeed. So from selecting the food they would eat and learning how to prepare it with the food warming and hydration systems on orbit, to understanding the tools and systems available to them throughout the station, learning every seemingly small detail is critical to ensure mission success. While in Building 9 at Johnson Space Center, the crews learned and rehearsed routine operations, medical procedures, emergency situations, and media outreach engagements. All of these lessons that would not only bond them into a crew, but also ensure they were physically and mentally prepared for any scenario surrounding their space flight. This included, as we've mentioned, a week of training with the National
Hour 7 minutes and 50 seconds from liftoff of the Axiom 4 mission. As the countdown continues, let's take a closer look at the vehicles that will be taking the AX4 crew to the International Space Station today. At the very top is our Dragon spacecraft. This is where the crew is currently sitting and will spend their 28-hour flight to the orbiting lab. With the capacity to carry up to 7 passengers, Dragon has proven to be quite a versatile
Dragon
spacecraft.
SpaceX 4 status update.
We're going to listen into this status
Go
update.
Ahead to me. What's the update?
All right, Peggy, we are troubleshooting an issue with uploading the current wind conditions to the vehicle. This must be completed before launch escape system is armed so that the vehicle can correctly target offshore splashdown in the event of an escape. We're tracking several troubleshooting paths at this time and are working to resolve the issue, so I will follow up with you in 10 minutes on the status. How copy?
Copy. You're troubleshooting the ability to upload the wind conditions for the launch escape system, and you'll update us in 10. Thanks.
And just to make that super crystal clear, if we do not successfully upload this by the time we get to LES arm, we will be no-go for launch.
I was thinking you might be thinking that as well. Dragon copies.
So we heard some chatter there from Mission Control and acknowledged by the crew that we're troubleshooting that upload issue now. But of course, our teams will continue working diligently in the lead up to launch in hopes that we can preserve today's launch attempt. So with that, I want to step back in and talk a little bit more about the spacecraft that we are working on today. Dragon is a very versatile spacecraft. It can autonomously dock to the space station when outfitted with a docking adapter, as it is today for Axiom Mission 4. But Dragon can also be configured with hardware to support a spacewalk, which made its debut on the Polaris Dawn mission last year. And, of course, in free flyer mode, the docking adapter can be swapped out for that iconic cupola, which is essentially a giant glass dome that allows for 360-degree views of space.
The crew travels in the pressurized section, which is the top portion of the spacecraft. This area allows for the transport of people and environmentally sensitive cargo. Dragon's trunk, which sits below the pressurized section, can carry unpressurized cargo when needed and remains attached to the Dragon until shortly before reentry into Earth's atmosphere.
Dragon has played a significant role in advancing our future in space by safely transporting crew and cargo to and from the space station. There are currently 4 Dragon spacecraft supporting human spaceflight missions that have docked to the station, Endeavour, Resilience, Endurance, and Freedom. And this mission will be adding 1 new Dragon to that list, whose name will be revealed later today by our commander, operator Peggy Whitson. Dragon and the AX4 crew will be delivered to orbit today by Falcon 9, SpaceX's two-stage rocket developed and manufactured right here in Hawthorne, California. Falcon 9 is the first orbital-class rocket capable of reflight. The booster, or first stage of the rocket, is the tallest part of the vehicle. Today's booster is flying for the second time. Reusability is key to making spaceflight more routine and ultimately what will enable humans to become a multi-planetary species. A total of 48 boosters have flown multiple missions, with the record for a single booster now standing at 28 missions. After today's launch, the first stage will be returning to SpaceX's Landing Zone 1 at Cape Canaveral Space Force Station, which is just about 9 miles away from Launch Complex 39A.
Above the first stage and below Dragon is Falcon 9's second stage, which will secure Dragon's entry into low Earth orbit before separating, leaving Dragon to continue its journey to the space station.
Beautiful wide shot of Falcon 9 on your screen there. We've got the crew access arms still in place leading up to the Dragon spacecraft. And Falcon 9 right there in the middle is SpaceX's workhorse vehicle, having completed 492 missions since its first flight in 2010, more than any other rocket flying today. And through missions like today's, Dragon is helping lay the groundwork for deep space exploration, rapidly expanding our knowledge of how humans will adapt, live, and work in space. It's hard to believe that it's been 5 years since Dragon radically changed how humanity gets to space. After the space shuttle program ended in 2011, NASA astronauts primarily used the Russian Soyuz 2020. The Soyuz was the only human-capable launch vehicle available. In December 2010, Dragon became the first commercially built and operated spacecraft to be recovered successfully from orbit. This mission, known as COTS-1, was the first demonstration flight for NASA's Commercial Orbital Transportation Services, or COTS, program. The purpose of COTS was to develop and demonstrate commercial sources for cargo resupply of the ISS. Fun fact, the Dragon that flew on that historic mission is currently hanging behind us in front of SpaceX Mission Control in Hawthorne. Just 10 years later, in May 2020, Demo 2 launched astronauts from U.S. soil for the first time in nearly a decade. Demo 2 was Dragon's first human spaceflight mission. The spacecraft named Endeavour carried NASA astronauts Doug Hurley and Bob Denton to the International Space Station in the first orbital human spaceflight launched from the United States since that final space shuttle mission in 2011, and it was the first ever operated by a commercial provider. Alongside the NASA missions, Dragon has also flown several private missions to orbit. In September 2021, on the Inspiration 4 mission, Dragon became the first private spacecraft to take an all-civilian crew to orbit. The following year, Dragon flew Axiom Mission 1, the first all-private astronaut mission to the ISS in collaboration with Axiom Space, the first of now four flights together with Axiom Space to take commercial crews from around the world to the International Space Station. Then in September of 2024, the Polaris Dawn mission delivered the first commercial spacewalk. And most recently in March, Dragon supported the FROM 2 and NASA Crew 10 missions. From that first crew mission in May 2020 all the way through today, Dragon has supported 17 human spaceflight missions and flown 66 crew members representing 17 countries. Overall, Dragon has flown 52 missions, carrying over 300,000 pounds of cargo to space. In the history of human spaceflight, fewer than 700 people have ever been to orbit. At SpaceX, we want to help create a future where not just hundreds of people, but thousands and ultimately millions of people can travel off Earth to live and work in space and on other planets.
Each of those missions you just mentioned represent truly significant firsts that have helped shape this generation of human spaceflight. And at Axiom Space, we've had the opportunity to provide foundational firsts as well, working with SpaceX and NASA on all three of our orbital spaceflight missions to date. So fully appreciate the progress being made together, it's worth noting that our three flights have helped provide greater access and set new precedents worldwide for private astronaut missions aboard the International Space Station, all within the last 4 years. I'd love to take a quick look back at just a few of these with you now. On April 8th, 2022, just over 3 years ago, Axiom Mission 1 launched...
Dragon copy.
Pausing there for that update. I believe that may all be all for that. I'll
pick up where we were. So Commander Peggy Whitson led American John Schaffner and two Saudi Arabian national astronauts, Ali Al-Karni and Rayana Barnawi, on a 10-day mission outside our atmosphere with over 8 days aboard the orbiting laboratory. And over the course of their 126 orbits, they conducted 26 research efforts and participated in 20 STEAM events. This became the first private mission with government-sponsored astronauts. And last year, in January of 2024, we conducted Axiom Mission 3, which saw Commander Michael Lopez Alegria once again lead a crew to the station. This was our longest flight to date at over 21 days, covering 346 orbits. The crew spent over 18 days on station and worked with 54 payloads, conducted 28 STEAM engagements. Flying once again on Dragon Freedom, this was the first all-European astronaut mission to the International Space Station. And here we are today. With Axiom Mission 4, we add a projected 14 more days of operational flight heritage and make possible an additional 60 research payloads. Each of these flights builds on the one that came before it, certainly, but it also is meant to open up access to low Earth orbit just a little bit more, providing opportunities for more nations and organizations than ever before to participate in human spaceflight. It's the fact that now 11 nations have been represented across our flights that speaks to the success of missions like these.
We visited with the crew of AX4 to get their thoughts on what our collective future in space looks like. I love Peggy's comment there that this is really just the tip of the iceberg.
Absolutely.
The International Space Station may not last forever, but there's a lot in the works today to enable even more research and more capabilities off-planet.
Of course. And so for Axiom Space, missions like AX4, as we've said, not only create opportunities for our customers to accomplish their goals in microgravity, but they are also invaluable in developing our teams and our systems for our own future Axiom Station.
When the time comes and the International Space Station reaches the end of its operational life,
Dragon Space X4 awareness, we are continuing troubleshooting on the wind file upload. It has not been resolved yet. Troubleshooting is continuing.
To follow up on that comment we had earlier,
Dragon Space continuing troubleshooting.
We are going to keep working this issue in the lead up to launch. So as I was saying, when the time comes and the International Space Station reaches the end of its operational life, SpaceX will help deorbit the orbiting lab. NASA awarded SpaceX a contract to develop the U.S. Deorbit Vehicle, or USDV, a modified Dragon designed to guide the station through a controlled reentry into the Earth's atmosphere to ensure that upon reentry, the station comes down in the intended location and does it safely.
But before that happens, there are plans in place where Axiom Space will utilize the remaining operational lifetime of the International Space Station to facilitate a transition to our own commercially owned and operated station. Selected by NASA in 2020, Axiom Space is the only commercial company to attach its privately developed modules to the International Space Station. And here's what this transitional timeline looks like at this point. Our first step will be to attach a module to the station that we call the Payload Power Thermal Module, or PPTM. This module is designed to receive any critical hardware, payloads, or tools from the ISS that the international community may want to continue to utilize. Then that will undock, detaching from the space station, rendezvous with our second module, known as Habitat Module 1. Together, these two modules can support four crew members and enable a host of manufacturing and research efforts in microgravity. From there, the station will continue to build out over the following years until we have built out an entire Axiom Station, as you see it there, with a second habitation module, an airlock, the open windows down below, the Earth Observatory, and the research and manufacturing lab. All of this, once fully assembled, allows Axiom Station to enable customers to forge their own future in low Earth orbit.
Speaking of our future in low Earth orbit, let's get a status update from John Eye about today's mission.
Well, Ronnie, we're just inside T-minus 53 minutes. We're continuing the countdown. Obviously, the thing we're waiting to hear from over the countdown net is the troubleshooting going on with the wind upload of data to the Dragon spacecraft. We heard just a couple of minutes ago they're still working on it. We have to have that on board before we get to essentially crew access armor track and then launch escape system armed. So we're going to continue to monitor that as we get a little bit closer. Now on the Falcon 9, good news, the chief engineer pulled the team. They don't see any issues right now. They'll be doing their final pull at T-minus 45 minutes or so to go into propellant load. Now, we talked about Dragon. They're working no other issues other than getting the wind file uploaded. The good news, weather, the weather officer, T-minus 1 hour, said phenomenal. So we'll take that all night long. And then finally, around the launch pad, flight danger hazard areas are clear, both around both pad 39A as well as tonight landing zone 1, because the first stage is coming back about 9 miles south of the launch site. So currently, everything continuing to look good except for that one issue we're working on, Dragon. We'll keep listening in. We'll bring an update. We'll keep our fingers crossed. But we're coming up on T-minus 51 minutes. Everything continuing to count down, hopefully, to an on-time launch just less than an hour from now.
Attention Falcon launch operators. The propellant load and launch go-no-go pull is open stud 11.87 of 1.160.
And at just under an hour to go until launch, we want to welcome in all of those tuning in by way of NASA's live stream that have just joined our launch coverage of Axiom Mission 4. We're joined now by Sandra Jones with NASA Communications from Mission Control at the Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas. Thank you for joining, Sandra.
Thanks, Sandra. We'll hear more from Mission Control in just a few minutes, but we do want to take a moment first to introduce everyone to the crew of AX4. Aside from Axiom Space Commander Peggy Whitson, each crew member represents a return to human spaceflight for their nation after more than 40 years.
And starting with our commander, today's mission is led by Peggy Whitson of the United States. There is simply not enough time to cover her entire resume, but to give you just a few highlights, Peggy has earned degrees in biology, chemistry, and biochemistry. She was the first female commander of the International Space Station. She has spent over 675 total days in space, during which she logged 60 hours across 10 spacewalks. She is also a two-time commander for Axiom Space, having previously served aboard AX2, and she was just inducted as a member of the 2025 Astronaut Hall of Fame. So congratulations and well-deserved, Peggy.
Next is mission pilot Shubhanshu Shukla of India, whose call sign as a test pilot is Shuks. Representing the Indian Space Research Organization, or ISRO, Shuks is also an astronaut designate of India's inaugural human spaceflight effort, Gangayaan, featuring an Indian-built rocket and spacecraft. He was commissioned into the Indian Air Force Fighter Wing in 2006 and achieved the rank of Group Captain in 2024. He has over 2,000 hours of flight experience aboard a variety of aircraft.
And our third crew member is Mission Specialist Sławosz Wiśniewski of Poland. He is representing the European Space Agency as a project astronaut, coming from the reserve class of 2022, much like Marcus Wandt, who served as a mission specialist on AX3. A scientist by trade, Sławosz has earned his Master of Science with honors from Łódź University of Technology in 2008. He holds a second Master of Science and a graduate engineering diploma as well. He also spent 2 years as the engineer in charge of the world-famous Large Hadron Collider in Switzerland, beginning in 2018.
And rounding out this crew is mission specialist Tibor Kapu of Hungary, who represents the Hungarian Orbit Astronaut Program, or HUNOR. He graduated from the Budapest University of Technology and Economics, earning a degree in mechanical engineering, followed by a master's degree specializing in polymer technology. In 2023, Tibor emerged as one of four Hungarians selected from a pool of 247 candidates for the HUNOR astronaut program.
And together, they are the crew of AX4, Axiom Space's fourth private astronaut mission to the International Space Station. Today's flight represents the return to space flight for three nations, but it also highlights the growing opportunities for nations and entities around the world to conduct meaningful work in low Earth orbit. And right now, as you see there, Peggy, Shuks, Sławosz, and Tibor sit inside Dragon. These are the students and teachers at the Nabaram Hansre English School in Jamshedpur, India, gathering together to watch Shubhanshu lift off. How exciting.
Now we have great news from Poland. Crowds are beginning to gather here, including children from Polish schools, to witness Sławosz's launch on the planetarium's dome. The event was organized by the Ministry of Economic Development and Technology, the Polish Space Agency, and the European Space Agency. I love seeing these views from around the world.
It's truly incredible. Yes, joy, the excitement around the world.
You would go for Section 5, and when ready, report, go for launch. For awareness, we are still troubleshooting the wind upload file. I will have a few more words for you after you confirm your go for launch.
Wilco, Inmarsat, Section 5. And SpaceX Dragon, we are go for launch. Section 5 is complete.
Copy, Section 5 complete. All right, for awareness on timeline, we have to have the launch escape system armed by T-minus 37 minutes. So we are going to take this as far as we can. What I'll need from you guys is a very fast turn on the commanding for launch escape arm, provided we get it to that point. I'll copy.
Copy. Understand LES has to be armed by no later than T-minus 37 minutes, and we will be prepared.
Copy that.
John S. Worker back here at the webcast desk. We're inside T-minus 45 minutes. Right now, we've just heard from the Dragon team that you take it down to about T-minus 37 minutes.
Launch director on the countdown. The pull is complete, and the team is ready for crew access arm retract and propellant load and launch pending resolution of the wind upload issue. For all operators in NCC and Hangar X, both controls are going to lockdown at T-minus 45 minutes and will remain in this state until the LES system is disarmed. All operators are to remain at their console and maintain a sterile cockpit until the MD confirms successful disarming of the launch escape system following orbit insertion or propellant offload in the event of a scrub. For non-urgent no-go conditions, brief the CE or LD and they will approve aborting the countdown. For urgent issues affecting the safety of the operation, operators shall call multiple polls on the countdown net. Launch control will abort the launch auto sequence immediately and proceed into the launch abort auto sequence. At T-minus 10 seconds, launch control will be hands-off and relying on automated abort criteria for the remainder of the count. Operators shall advise the launch director whether structural breakup or fire is imminent or occurring per Dragon manual escape flight rules. Launch control, you may proceed with arming the crew arm for movement.
Okay, we're at T-minus 43 minutes, 15 seconds and counting. You've heard the SpaceX launch director giving final instructions to the team. We have cleared our propellant loading pole.
Crew access arm retraction has started.
And now we've heard, and you can see on the screen, crew access arm is pulling away from the Dragon spacecraft. This is going to take about a minute, minute and a half to retract all the way. Then we'll get confirmation it is in the launch position. The next step after that is going to be the crew, close the visors, confirm that, and then begin launch escape arming. As we mentioned, we want to get launch escape arming finished by about T-minus 37 minutes, which means we've got about 5 minutes to finish troubleshooting the wind upload to the Dragon vehicle. Now, currently on Falcon 9, all conditions are go on the launch vehicle. That was the poll that we and the instructions we heard from the launch director. Dragon's working, it's one issue. Weather looks good. Range is ready to support.
Crew access arm retraction complete.
All right, that is the confirmation. The arm is back in the launch position. Next, they'll give the crew the command to go ahead and close and lock their visors. I think right now we're probably waiting just a little bit longer. We want to give the Dragon team as much time as they can have before we move into the sequence where we then have the crew arm the launch escape system. Now, if we do get through this and we solve the upload issue, at T-minus 35 minutes, we will begin propellant load. Once we do that, then there's no chance to hold the clock. We would have to complete the countdown and launch on time, or as we have mentioned during the webcast, we do have another opportunity tomorrow about 24 hours from now. We're inside 41 minutes, continuing to troubleshoot the problem. Here with a crew inside the capsule on the right-hand side. See the status bar on the bottom and the clock counting down. Now, if we get the go, we'll hear then the commands to begin the launch escape system arming. The crew will confirm about a minute later that they're armed. and that would complete the major events before propellant load would begin at T-minus 35 minutes. Views of Falcon 9 and Dragon on Launch Complex 39A on the Kennedy Space Center. Everybody is clear of the launch pad, clear of the launch complex. The danger and hazard areas have been confirmed clear, and we're ready. We're just waiting to find out whether or not we're going to be able to continue forward in the countdown. We should know that answer within the next couple of minutes. If need be, if we do have to hold the countdown, that would be a scrub for the night. Right now, as we talked about earlier, the space station orbit is passing over Kennedy Space Center, getting everything aligned.
Right, SpaceX, wind up load is complete. You are go for Section 6, closed visors and arm launch escape system.
Visors are closed and arming launch escape system now.
All right. That's good news. We've got the winds uploaded. Closing the visors, you can see on the screen. We're also going to begin escape system arming. It's going to take about 50 seconds once we get into it. We will then get confirmation that the launch escape system is armed. And from there, we will move into propellant loading, coming up in 3 minutes at T-minus 35. So we passed a major milestone. Everything looking good. And it's kind of quiet here right now. Everybody's kind of tense. We're waiting to see how we go, Paul. But with that, it looks like we're doing good in the timeline.
Launch escape system is verified on.
Very good. With all of those call-outs and the progress now being made again towards launch, let us tell you more about your destination, the International Space Station. And with that, we'll send you to NASA's Johnson Space Center and Sandra Jones for all things tracking about the mission.
For the start of propellant load. Propellant load has started.
Thanks, Sandra. And so things are looking good on the launch pad. The teams are continuing to progress towards launch at 2:31 a.m. Eastern. We'd love to take a minute and just take a look back at what's happened already this evening to get us to this point in the countdown. So for context, we want to say this crew has been living in an isolated quarantine bubble for the last 4 weeks, having reported to quarantine on May 25th. In that time, they have shifted their sleep regimen to adjust their circadian rhythm to match those on board the International Space Station. And over the last few days, they have finessed that further to be ready for today. In fact, their wake-up call was set to 6:30 p.m. yesterday, depending on where you are. But then about 4.5 hours prior to the scheduled launch time, the Axiom Space ground operations team drove the X4 crew to Kennedy Space Center, where they shared a brief moment with loved ones before officially being handed over to SpaceX for today's launch. This handover event has taken on quite a few forms over the years, but there's always something truly special about creating a moment, even just for a few minutes, in the midst of all of this operational choreography, to pause and share a moment with loved ones. And there you see the team did just that in front of the VAB before getting into the Teslas and riding out to the Falcon Support Building to be ready for launch today.
Absolutely. After that T-minus 4-hour briefing, the SpaceX team helped the crew suit up at our Falcon Support Building. You got a video on your screen that was recorded earlier today of the crew stepping out in their suits and waving to everybody there for the first time before getting in our two Teslas to caravan over to Launch Complex 39A. They do ride in pairs over to 39A. Often accompanied by members of our launch closeout team, who you see there as the crew celebrates that they are on their way over to launch. Once they reached the tower, they descended up to the Dragon spacecraft and were able to make one last phone call before sighting the white room wall. Here you see the crew walking across the crew access arm, getting their boarding passes handed to them and checked by our closeout team. You'll notice that Peggy Whitson is gold because she is a frequent flyer with us here at SpaceX. And then once our crew ingressed Dragon, we completed suit leak checks and comm checks before rotating the seats into the reclined position for launch. Love these videos of them up in the white room there. You can see those signatures on the wall behind them, hugging the closeout team before ingressing the capsule. Then from there, that is the same team that closes the hatch and seals everything in the preparation for launch. Right now, we are still waiting on those final weather checks coming up, but prop load has begun. So all of that brought us through the confirmations we've been listening to, the check-ins, confirming that the crew arm is stowed, and of course, as we were listening so intently for earlier today, that our launch escape system is armed. With that, we are just over 31 minutes away from today's liftoff.
Incredible. That white room is got a lot of history in it already.
And lots more to come, which is really exciting.
Yes, we are just adding another chapter to this storied location. That 39A has got so much history already.
So, of course, everything about today is really timelined down to the minute. As we were talking about earlier today, the crew wake up all the way through launch. We have this kind of precise choreography that is key to our launch site execution. Each of the calls we're hearing, the visual cues that we're seeing, and that we're acknowledging to you who are joining us from around the world, serve as critical synchronization.
One, cryo-helium loading.
There's confirmation there that we're loading the cryo-helium on board stage one of Falcon 9. And each of these milestones are critical synchronization points for both the ground and crew teams. As they say, slow is smooth and smooth is fast. It's hard to believe that it's been 5 years since Dragon radically changed how humanity gets to space. After the space shuttle program ended in 2011, NASA astronauts primarily used the Russian Soyuz spacecraft for travel to the International Space Station. Until 2020, Dragon was the the Russian Soyuz spacecraft was the only human-capable launch vehicle available. Meanwhile, SpaceX's Dragon was being developed, and then in 2010, it became the first commercial spacecraft to be recovered from orbit. In fact, just for fun, because it's cool to know, the Dragon that flew on that first commercial mission is actually the one hanging behind us here in front of Mission Control in Hawthorne. Since then, Dragon has supported 17 human spaceflight missions and flown 66 crew members representing 17 countries. Overall, Dragon has flown 52 missions, carrying over 1,000 experiments and over 300,000 pounds of cargo to space.
And each of those missions represents a host of firsts that have helped shape this generation of spaceflight. To fully appreciate the progress being made together with SpaceX and NASA, it's worth noting that Axiom Space's three missions to date have helped provide greater access for nations and researchers, setting new precedents for private astronaut efforts aboard the International Space Station. And AX4 adds to that growing flight heritage.
After a successful liftoff and orbital insertion, the AX4 crew are set to rendezvous and dock with the International Space Station tomorrow. They'll spend approximately 14 days aboard the orbiting laboratory, bringing the occupancy count up to 11.
And over the last 10 months, this crew has been working with instructors to learn every system they will be working with on station. They have studied and practiced every experiment, reviewed and rehearsed every event, all to maximize that time in space. Collectively, this crew is undertaking the largest quantity of research efforts of any Axiom space mission to date, with over 60 research activities on their timeline, representing 31 different countries. Missions like these continue to expand what is possible and set the stage for even greater opportunities to come.
Then, at the conclusion of their time on station, the crew will participate in a closing farewell ceremony and begin their preparations for the journey back to Earth. As we've mentioned a couple of times, that'll be about 14 days from today.
Each mission to the International Space Station is rooted in singular, unifying purpose, to explore and learn together as a team. And that is one of the things that I absolutely love about human spaceflight. The International Space Station is a symbol of what can be realized from international cooperation and collaboration. And so while this particular mission may represent the goals of four specific nations, today they are launching as one crew, one team. And in that spirit, this crew created a mark to represent their shared effort together. The AX4 mission patch is something that Peggy, Shooks, Swavosh, and Tibor will wear proudly for the rest of their lives. But so will thousands of people who've worked tirelessly to contribute to this mission.
The mission patch for Axiom 4 was created, as you mentioned, by the crew, not just to mark their space flight, but to symbolize the idea that space is for everyone. Anchored by the centrality of the Earth and flanked by a diverse set of national flags, there are several intended meanings woven into this design. For instance, the seven stars represent the seven continents and point to global inclusivity.
The four white lines ascending from the Earth to the International Space Station symbolize the physical journey of this mission, and together appear to make panes of a spacecraft window, much like the view the astronauts will have from Earth orbit. And the overall gem shape of the patch is a reminder of the precious responsibility we all have to our planet, to cherish and to protect our homeworld. And in addition to the mission patch, another favorite tradition of human spaceflight is the zero-G indicator. To celebrate their unique bond, the AX4 crew chose a baby swan as the zero-G indicator, which they've named Joy. And today, we have the opportunity to have our very own Joy joining us to help us keep an eye on the gravity levels here in Hawthorne. So far, pretty stable.
Yeah, all systems nominal, I would say.
Very, very nominal. Yes.
So as we await our T-minus zero in a little bit more than 25 minutes, our ground operations teams are doing a final series of systems checks to make sure both Dragon and Falcon 9 are ready for launch. Let's take a look at what the ascent portion of our mission today will look like.
Start of stage 2 cryo-helium loading.
Brief announcement on stage 2 loading. Once we hit T0, we're going to watch Falcon 9 and Dragon lift off from historic launch pad 39A and make their ascent. About 43 seconds into flight, Falcon 9's engines will throttle down to help pass through the period of maximum dynamic pressure on the rocket, or what we typically refer to as max Q. Now, it's worth noting that shortly after we hit max Q, the vehicle will go supersonic, faster than the speed of sound.
Once we're through that period of maximum dynamic pressure, we throttle up our Merlin engines again. From there, at about 2.5 minutes into flight, we have a series of three events that happen in rapid succession. The first is main engine cutoff, also called MECO. This is where all 9 Merlin engines shut off in preparation for stage separation. Stage step is when the first stage detaches from the second stage, with the first stage making its way back to Earth for landing as the second stage continues on its journey with the third event.
Now, SES-1, or second stage engine start number 1, that's where the Merlin vacuum engine lights up and propels the second stage along with our AX4 crew and Dragon into orbit. Now, as stage 2 heads into the targeted drop-off orbit, stage 1 will execute 3 burns in order to make its way back to Earth. The first is the boost back burn, where 3 of the Merlin 1D engines reignite and then shut down. That heads the first stage back to Cape Canaveral.
The second burn, or the entry burn, helps to slow the first stage down in preparation for entry back into the Earth's atmosphere. About 70 seconds before Dragon reaches orbit, Falcon 9 will land back on Earth. The landing burn will bring the vehicle's speed down rapidly in order to land back on land near the launch site. Shortly before 8 minutes into our mission.
And then a little less than a minute after that, at T plus 8 minutes 48 seconds, the second stage will cut off its one Merlin engine that was ignited right after stage separation. That concludes a burn that lasts just over 6 minutes to get into orbit, but we'll wait to hear confirmation of insertion into a good orbit. Then Dragon and the second stage begin preparations to separate Dragon. About 51 seconds after we get into orbit, we should have a great view of Dragon with the 4-person crew drifting away in Dragon, moving away from the second stage. Once Dragon's a short distance away, it'll begin checkout of the Draco maneuvering thrusters. That'll make sure Dragon continues to increase separation distance from the second stage.
The nose cone deploy sequence will initiate just before T plus 12 minutes and finish around T plus 15 minutes, exposing Dragon's docking mechanism in advance of arrival at the International Space Station. Speaking of which, we should hand it back now to Sandra Jones at NASA's Mission Control Center in Houston, Texas, for a quick update. Sandra?
Thanks, Ronnie. The space station team here in Houston is focused on the critical systems of the International Space Station, all continuing to function as expected ahead of launch. Everything is looking good on Houston Go for launch. For now, we'll send it back over to Sonia at Kennedy.
Thanks, Sandra. To dive into some of the science highlights, I'm joined now by Axiom Space's chief scientist, Dr. Lucy Lowe. Lucy, thanks for joining me here at the desk with so many science portfolios that are going to be accomplished. There are more than 60 from more than 30 countries. We can't cover it all. Give us a high-level look of what this portfolio looks like.
Yeah, so happy to, Sonia. So this mission is chock-a-block, jam-packed full of really interesting and exciting science. We have everything from human research, understanding how the human body reacts to space. We have some really fun life sciences experiments looking at growing plants and all kinds. We have some physical sciences. We have lots of technology demonstrations. And my
123. Do we have any return payload flyers for AXWORF?
We do. We have our partners at the University of California, San Diego, the Sanford Stem Cell Institute, flying their cancer cells in low Earth orbit for the fourth time with Axiom. So this team is actually looking at how the cancer cells respond to space. And on this mission, they're actually testing a newly approved drug that's just about to enter clinical trials. So really exciting.
So let's take just a brief look at each of the country's portfolios. Let's start at the head.
At the top, okay, off we go. So we're going to bring on our willing participant, our lovely assistant who is going to model one of the experiments from this portfolio. So Israel here is wearing a functional near-infrared spectroscopy cap, which has optodes in the top, which can actually look at how blood is moving around, which is a correlate for neural activity. So it's a way to actually monitor brain activity in space. And what the team is doing is looking at these signals and how they're going to collect the data. And they're actually creating what they're calling a brain-computer interface or a brain-machine interface, which could be really interesting and useful, not only for future exploration missions, but also for applications back here on Earth. So, for example, for rehabilitation after neurological disorders.
In which country's portfolio is this from?
This is from ESA and the Polish Space Agency.
Amazing. So what is ISRO doing? What's their portfolio?
So ISRO has a very, very busy portfolio. So Shooks is going to be doing lots and lots of research throughout the mission. So their team is going to be looking at cyanobacteria and microalgae, and they're going to be looking at how these could be used for food or for fuel or for potentially even life support systems on orbit in future. The team is also looking at muscle cells. They're seeing how muscle cells respond to access to microgravity. So when the human goes into space and there are changes, physiological changes that happen very quickly that can impact the muscle cells. And so the team is going to be looking at some of these changes to muscle cells in space and then applying that understanding not only to developing countermeasures for future...
We are thrilled.
Likewise.
Sonia, thank you so much. What great commentary from Lucy and all of those portfolios coming together. We're excited to see this team, its work on station. And as we know, spaceflight has a rich history of traditions. We've spoken of about a few, from the zero-G indicator to others. We started this next tradition for AX2, and we're excited to continue that today. It's a special thing to be named as a commander to anything, but being the commander of a four-person crew that has completed months of training and is about to defy gravity and set sail for the International Space Station, it's truly out of this world. Peggy has some thoughts she wanted to share here in this moment, just a few short minutes from launch. Here's Peggy.
Awesome words from our commander there. And of course, with that, we are just under T-minus 11 minutes until our liftoff at 2:31 a.m. Eastern today from Launch Complex 39A at Kennedy Space Center. Just in case you are just joining us, right now on your screen, you have a live view of Falcon 9 with our AX4 crew safely tucked in the Dragon space capsule atop the vehicle. At this point, we are coming up on terminal count. Our crew access arm has been moved out of the way, and our launch escape system is armed. And we are standing by for that final process by which we step into our terminal count, get ready Dragon and Falcon for liftoff.
Dragon SpaceX, confirm crew displays are configured for launch.
The displays are configured for launch, and the Axiom 4 crew would like to thank the incredible teams that have made this moment possible. To the Axiom Space Team, you've poured your hearts into this mission. Your passion and dedication have lifted us higher. We wear this patch with pride because of you. To NASA, thank you for the decades of knowledge, the training, and the trust. You've shaped generations of explorers, and we're honored to carry that legacy forward. To SpaceX, thank you for giving us the wings to fly and the confidence for a safe return home. And to our international partners, thank you for standing with us across borders, united by shared purpose. And to every person behind the scenes, engineers, trainers, families, and friends, you are the quiet force behind this mission. We carry the hopes of many with us. As we realize this return, we will bring those hopes home to you. Thank you.
Peggy Shooks, Suave Tibor, from all of us that are staying here on the ground, we look forward to your mission. All the hard work from our teams culminates here, so good luck, enjoy the ride, and science the heck out of all your experiments.
Wilco.
And a Wilco from Peggy Whitson. We're coming up on the T-minus 8-minute mark. Next major event that will be occurring on the Falcon 9 is the engine chill event. That happens at T-minus 7 minutes. We open the pre-valves, feeding both the RP-1 kerosene fuel as well as the liquid oxygen. Now go to the Merlin 1D engines. The liquid oxygen, we actually open a valve and we allow some of it to bleed off overboard out into the warm Florida air here in the early morning, and that will begin chilling in the turbo pumps on those 9 Merlin engines to get ready for when we ignite the engines starting at T-minus 2 seconds. Also interesting to note, just several minutes ago, as we talked about early in the webcast, the International Space Station flew over Kennedy Space Center. And so that means the orbit planes are lined up. We're ready to go in just 7.5 minutes from now. Now, while we're getting ready to open the pre-valves, which is one of those what we might call significant events in the life of the Falcon 9 as we count down, we'll also be chilling in the upper stage engine. We'll hear that call out also in flight when we do some additional chill-in at about a minute and 52 seconds.
Engine chill has started.
There's that engine chill announcement from Mission Control right on schedule. So now we just got about 50 seconds left as we continue to load RP-1 onto the first stage. Falcon 9 is powered by liquid oxygen and RP-1, which stands for Rocket Propellant 1, which is a highly refined type of kerosene. By the time we reach liftoff, Falcon 9 will have approximately 1 million pounds of fuel on board and will be burning 700 gallons of fuel per second at liftoff.
Stage 1, RP-1 load complete.
There's confirmation there from Mission Control that we have RP-1 load complete, and you're seeing great reactions from the AX4 crew there on the right-hand side of your screen with each one of these call-outs. You can tell that they are just as excited as we are to get them on their way to space.
A lot of time rehearsing, and now we're down to the last 6 minutes. We're also seeing some of the moist air as it condenses around the cold tanks. You can see that just at the top, Dragon, above the second stage. Next major event coming up, Dragon is going to configure for terminal count, and it'll move on to internal power. Those are the batteries. We do have solar arrays, and you can see them right now as some of the mist clears. You can see the black portions of Dragon. So we've got solar arrays on part of the Dragon trunk, and then we also have batteries inboard. Now we have completed loading fuel on both the first and second stage. We're still loading liquid oxygen onto both stages. That'll wrap up at the T-minus 3-minute mark and the T-minus 2-minute mark. But right now, we're waiting to hear the final updates to the crew.
Falcon 9 propellant tanks are pressurizing for strong bag retracts.
That's good news for Mission Control.
Trigger the terminal count.
There we heard that we are pressurizing Falcon 9 for strong back retraction. The strong back is the tall structure standing right to the left of the rocket right now. And we pressurized Falcon 9 so that we can begin to retract that support structure away from the vehicle ahead of liftoff. Great view there of Dragon sitting on top of Falcon 9. And we'll look for those clamp arms around the base of Dragon just beneath those solar panels John was just talking about to begin opening up so the strong back can pull away. The strong back is used both to move Falcon 9 out to the launch pad ahead of liftoff and to provide all of the fuel and comm umbilicals that we're using in the lead up to launch. There are those clamp arms opening up. And then we'll see the strong back pull just about 2 degrees away from Falcon 9 in the final lead up to launch. Then at liftoff, it'll move to a full 45 degrees away from the rocket. Great live shots there of the capsule on board the rocket here.
Yeah, Ronnie, it takes about 20 seconds for the hydraulics to open up those clamp arms that held onto the second stage. At about 30 seconds, it's hard to see, but that strong back will move just a couple degrees away.
And with that, we are just about 30 seconds away from the expected call out that locked load has been completed on board our first stage. As we mentioned earlier, that mist forming around the outside of Falcon 9 is totally normal. That's just some of that. Some of that liquid oxygen that has now been fully loaded on board to stage one, venting out into the warm Florida air and condensing into clouds.
So we continue to check off events here in the last minutes of the countdown.
Dragon is in thermal count and is on external power.
And the confirmation a minute ago, we started the move into transition. And there on the left side of the screen and the right, you can see some of the watch parties, Paul.
Yeah, absolutely. On our left side of the screen, you can see the school in India. And then the right side of the screen is the planetarium in Poland with students and fans of this crew cheering on what's about to be a momentous moment.
And good in the planetarium. I'm keeping it dark in there for okay, we're waiting to hear the confirmation that second stage LOX load is complete. That should be coming up momentarily.
Stage two, LOX load complete.
Here's that confirmation for mission control right on schedule. So the next major visual milestone we're likely to have from the outside of the spacecraft is going to be venting
auto idle.
Confirmation there from Mission Control that we are in auto-idle on board Dragon in that final minute and a half before launch. Now, we are expecting gas closeouts to be followed by some loud venting, and we're likely to see a larger cloud of liquid oxygen. There's instructions to the crew also right on schedule. And a great nighttime shot of Dragon sitting there at Historic Launch Complex 39A with the AX-4 crew safely tucked inside with just over a minute to go until liftoff.
Seated left to right inside Dragon from this camera's perspective, you have Tibor Kapu there on the left-hand side, and beside him is our pilot, Shubhanshu Shukla, and to the other side.
Falcon 9 is at startup and is now controlling.
It's Commander Peggy Whitson, and then far. On the far side is Slavo Shuznevsky, Vishnevsky of ESA.
Dragon SpaceX, go for launch.
AX-4 is go for launch.
That is great news for Mission Control and from our crew on board Dragon. With that, we are just at T-minus 30 seconds to lift off of AX-4.
Let's go AX-4.
T-plus 30 seconds in the flight with the Axiom 4 crew on board Dragon headed to the International Space Station. Waiting to hear call-outs from the Falcon 9 engineering team.
Power and telemetry nominal. Stage 1 throttle.
We're throttling down the 9 Merlin engines. We're into the throttle bucket preparing for Max-Q.
Max Q. Vehicle is supersonic.
We should begin throttling the Merlin engines back up now.
Stage 1 throttle up.
Mission Control confirming.
Stage 1 Bravo.
That throttle up, and we are.
Stage 1 Bravo.
Hearing our Commander Peggy Whitson call out the first abort mode. Each of these are a specific phase where, if for any reason we had an in flight abort. Dragon would abort to a safe location, so we're going to call out each of those milestones as we pass through them. We also just heard the call out for MVAC chill. We're going to trickle just a little bit of liquid oxygen now into the turbo pumps onboard our Merlin vacuum engine on stage 2 in preparation for second engine start 1, which will, of course, be shortly after stage separation. Now, at this point, we are just about 30 seconds away from 4 events that are going to happen in rapid succession. The first one will be main engine cutoff, or MECO, then again followed by stage separation, ignition of that second stage engine, which we are already preparing for, as well as the first stage's boost back burn. With that confirmation from Mission Control that we are throttling the first stage engines down, we are expecting MECO at T plus 2 minutes and 26 seconds.
Thank you.
confirmation of all four of those events. Incredible views on our screen here, too, as that boost back, that first stage boosted way back to Earth.
Stage 2 Alpha.
And confirmation from our commander that we have entered the 2 Alpha abort mode. Of course, we're getting lots of cheers from behind us here at Mission Control here in Hawthorne, California, as well. And at this point, our AX4 crew is on their way to space. The view you have on your screen right now is our MVAC engine burning for that second engine first burn. We're expecting that SECO here, second engine cutoff, which will likely be called out over the net as SECO in just a couple of minutes.
Stage 1 boost back shutdown.
Confirmation that the boost back burn on our first stage booster is now complete, and the booster is heading back toward the Florida coast to attempt a landing at LZ1. At this point, Stage 1 is actually still coasting to apogee. We're about to deploy those grid fins so that we can steer the vehicle as it enters the Earth's atmosphere.
SpaceX, nominal trajectory.
And that call out from Mission Control means that
nominal trajectory.
Everything is right on track.
2+4 minutes, everything continuing to go well, and we've got our first view of the crew. They're inside Dragon, second stage continuing to fire. Right now, second stage, just a little bit more than 1G. There's so much propellant that even with a 220,000-pound thrust engine, it takes a while before the G-loads start to build up during the second stage flight. Meanwhile, first stage continuing to coast up to apogee, and actually now, as you can see on the bottom left of your monitors, we have begun coming back down. It takes a couple minutes to go up, a couple minutes to come back down. That first stage heading back to landing zone 1 at Cape Canaveral.
All right, SpaceX, nominal trajectory.
Words we love to hear.
Ready to copy, nominal trajectory.
Peggy Whitson echoing back the call up from the ground. Our next major event coming up will be in about a minute and 10 seconds. That's going to be the entry burn. That's where we're going to light a single center engine on the first stage. That's going to slow us down in preparation for entering the Earth's atmosphere again. We'll then have a landing burn about a minute later at T+7:19. Now for that one, we actually light 3 engines again. Then quickly we'll, once we kind of jam the brakes on, then we'll turn off 2 of the engines. We'll be down to just a single engine. Getting good views of the MVAC-D engine. There are a couple of cameras on the back of the second stage that give these views. Of course, the view inside the Dragon spacecraft showing the crew.
Dragon, SpaceX, nominal trajectory.
Continuing the call-outs right on time.
Dragon copies, nominal trajectory.
Now, right now, as Ronnie pointed out, the grid fins have been deployed, but they're not being used. Right before the entry burn, we'll possibly see a little bit of motion if we can pick up the first stage camera. That's just to check out. It's not until we actually get through the entry burn that we get back in the atmosphere. And now here is entry burn call out. This is going to be about a 12-second burn. That's going to slow the vehicle down. You can watch that.
There, you just saw on the left-hand side of your screen that first stage entry burn shutdown. Right now on your screen, we've got great views of our second stage engine, the Merlin vacuum engine, continuing to take our AX4 crew to orbit. The next milestone for our first stage is going to be the landing burn, where we'll relight just the center engine, as John mentioned.
Dragon, SpaceX, nominal trajectory.
Again, things we'd love to hear.
Stage 1, F2,
Dragon, copies, nominal trajectory.
Continuing to get good communication from our crew onboard Dragon.
Stage 1, transonic.
Confirmation that Stage 1 is now transonic on its way back to LZ1, which is just about 9 miles away from our liftoff location today. LZ1, of course, is the site of the first successful landing attempt, and hopefully it will be the second time that this particular booster sticks its landing. Seeing those actuating of the grid fins that John mentioned.
Stage 1 landing light deploy. Stage 2 FTS is safe. Stage 1 landing confirmed.
That was a picture-perfect landing. That was great. So coming up next for our crew, now that we've confirmed that booster time, touchdown is going to be second engine cutoff, also called out as SECO. Then the second stage will coast for a few minutes until Dragon is commanded to separate from the second stage. Here's our AX4 crew awaiting that SECO call out here.
Stage 2 is the terminal guides.
Good continued burn from our second stage engine there. Now, at this point, our crew is experiencing about 3 Gs in the lead up to SECO 1, which, of course, will be their first taste of microgravity. Here's confirmation of the Shannon abort mode.
Nominal orbital insertion of SpaceX, and we've had an incredible ride uphill, and now we'd like to set our course for the International Space Station aboard the newest member of the Dragon fleet, our spacecraft named Grace. Grace is more than a name. It reflects the elegance with which we move through space against the backdrop of Earth. It speaks to the refinement of our mission, the harmony of science and spirit, and the unmerited favor we carry with humility. Grace reminds us that spaceflight is not just a feat of engineering, but an act of goodwill.
Really kicks in at a period called integration. Integrated Operations, which begins during the spacecraft's approach to the space station and continues during the crew's stay aboard the orbiting laboratory, where they will conduct science, education, and commercial activities, and will conclude once the spacecraft exits the vicinity of the International Space Station. During Integrated Operations, the NASA, SpaceX, and Axiom space teams are all working in lockstep. The teams here are preparing for a docking of Axiom 4 to the space station at 7 a.m. Eastern on Thursday morning, and will continue to monitor the approach until then. But for now, that will be it for us here in Mission Control Houston, but we'll be back with you at 5 a.m. Eastern for docking, hatch opening, and welcome coverage. So with that, back over to you, Hawthorne.
Thanks so much, Sandra. Over the next 28 and a half hours, the Dragon spacecraft Grace will execute a series of burns to gradually raise and line up the AX-4 crew for docking with the International Space Station in what we refer to as the activation and rendezvous phase of flight. In just a few minutes, the crew will change out of their spacesuits to get a little bit more comfortable for flight and will enjoy their first meal aboard the spacecraft. Over the course of their flight, they will also have a rest period that will last for about 8 hours. Before they arrive at the space station, we will have three potential opportunities to chat briefly with the crew on orbit. While we're hopeful that one of these will work out, none of them are guaranteed, as they're dependent both on crew schedule and ground station coverage. But if we are able to support, we'll make an announcement on our social media channels no later than 15 minutes before the event start time. In the meantime, be sure to keep tabs on this mission at axiomspace.com, and you can track Dragon's flight on spacex.com/launches.
And even if we aren't able to talk live with the crew, we will continue to provide updates on the mission across our social media channels. And then as Dragon and the AX-4 crew approach the International Space Station tomorrow, June 26th, we will pick back up with our live joint coverage of the AX-4 crew's docking to the station with NASA. Please keep an eye on Axiom Space and SpaceX social channels for updates, as there will be plenty of incredible moments to share with you over the next 2 weeks. From all of us at Axiom Space, thank you, SpaceX. Thank you, NASA, for making today possible. Thank you to ISRO and ESA and HUNOR for pursuing this endeavor with us. What started with joy now continues on with grace. We will see you very soon.
Houston, this is Station. I'm ready for the event. JAXA PAO, this is Mission Control, Houston. Please call station for a voice check.
Station, this is JAXA PAO. How do you hear me?
JAXA PAO, this is Houston. I have you loud and clear.
Please wait until MC Ms. Asahara will call you to start the event.
それではいよいよですね、更新イベントを始めてまいりたいと思います。もうお兄さん宇宙でスタンバイしていただいておりますので、先ほどの通り大きな声で呼びかけていきたいと思います。いきますよ。せーの。
はい、皆さんこんにちは。JAXA 宇宙飛行士の大西拓也と言います。今日は感動宇宙航空教室に参加してくれてどうもありがとうございます。私も今日皆さんとお話しできるのをとても楽しみにしてきました。さっき私の元の会社の後輩の方々が私の打ち上げの時のビデオを見せてくれたと思うんですけれども、パイロット訓練生の皆さん、訓練で忙しい中本当にありがとうございました。私も彼らと同じようにもともとは飛行機のパイロットをしていて、今こうして宇宙飛行士として国際宇宙ステーションというところに滞在しています。国際宇宙ステーションは地上からだいたい 400km 上空を飛行している施設になります。私は今その中の日本が持っている研究室の希望というところにいます。今日は飛行機の話を皆さんここまでいろいろ聞いてきたと思うんですが、これから先は私から宇宙飛行士がどんなことをここでしているのかとか、宇宙ってどんなところなのかっていうのを皆さんにお話しできればと思ってます。それでは早速講義を始めていきたいと思います。まず、宇宙ってどんなところかっていうのを皆さんにご紹介したいんですけれども、例えば地上でですね、僕今こうやってマイクを持ってますけど、このマイクを持ってる手を離したらどうなりますかね。地上だとこう重力に引かれてストーンと下に落ちてしまいますよね。でも宇宙だとこんな風に手を離してもマイクは全然落ちずにずっと宇宙プカプカプカプカ浮いてます。これはこの国際宇宙ステーションの中はほとんど重力がない世界になっているんですね。なのでマイクだけではなくていろんなものもプカプカ浮いてしまいます。例えばここに今地球の風船がありますけど、これも、
はい、大西さんありがとうございました。会場の皆さんも目をキラキラさせて聞き入っていらっしゃいました。それでは、大西さんの質問コーナーに移ってまいりたいと思います。今回は参加者の皆さんから多くの質問をいただいておりますが、6名の方にご質問していただきたいと思います。では奥谷月穂さんからお願いします。
奥谷月穂です。私の将来の夢は大西宇宙飛行士みたいになる宇宙飛行士です。大西宇宙飛行士の子供の頃の将来の夢は何でしたか？また何がきっかけで宇宙飛行士になろうと思ったのですか？
はい、奥谷月夫さん、質問どうもありがとうございます。ぜひ、将来ですね、宇宙飛行士目指してほしいですね。一緒に仕事できるのを楽しみにしてます。僕は小さい頃は最初は科学者になろうと思ってました。もともと小さい時から宇宙がとっても好きなので、宇宙に行きたいとは思ってたんですけれども、なかなか宇宙飛行士っていう仕事はあんまり意識してなくて、その宇宙について勉強がしたいなと思ってたので、そういう研究者を目指してました。でも、大学生になった時に、アポロ13号っていう宇宙船の、ミッションがあったんですけど、その宇宙船の話を描いた映画を見たことがきっかけで、宇宙飛行士ってかっこいいなと思って宇宙飛行士を目指したのが、その僕のきっかけになります。で、運よくその宇宙飛行士の選抜試験という試験があるんですけれども、それに合格することができて、今こうして宇宙飛行士として働くことができています。 ぜひ将来一緒に働きましょう。質問ありがとうございます。
福谷半奈です。宇宙の生活で一番大変なことは何ですか？ ISS では服や下着はどのように洗濯をしているのですか？
はい、奥谷半奈さん、質問どうもありがとうございます。一番大変なことはですね、地上みたいに水がジャバジャバ使えないことですね。例えばお風呂に入ったりとかシャワーに浴びたりっていうのができないので、なかなか体をきれいにすることが大変です。で、なんで水をジャバジャバ使えないかっていうと理由が2つあって、1つは水がとっても貴重なものだからですね。地上から水をどんどん持ってくることもなかなか難しいので、僕たちどうしてるかっていうと、水をですねどんどんリサイクルして、使い回してます。例えば、僕が飲んだ水だったりジュースっていうのはいずれおしっこになって体の外に出ていきますよね。そのおしっこをまたきれいにして、飲み水に戻すっていうことをこの宇宙ステーションではやってます。あとは、水っていうのはさっき見てもらったようにプカプカ浮いてしまうので、ほっとくといろんなところに散らばってしまうんですよね。なのでとっても危険なので、水をこうジャバジャバっと使うことができなくなってます。そこがすごく、宇宙ステーションでの暮らしの不便、まあ、あとはそれから大変なところですね。で、さっき質問してもらったけれども、洗濯はできますかっていうことについては、その同じ理由でできません。なので僕たち宇宙飛行士は同じ服を何日も何日も着て、まあ、当然あの汗をかいたり、あといろんな汚れてくるんだけど、汚れてしまったらもう新しいものと交換して、古いものは捨てるっていう、そういうことをやってます。なのでいつか宇宙でも洗濯ができるといいなって思います。どうもありがとうございます。
こんにちは、桜田海斗です。僕は学校でオクラを育てています。 ISS で植物を育てるとどうなりますか？水浴びをしているところも見たいです。
はい、桜田海斗さん、ありがとうございます。植物はですね、今この宇宙ステーションの中ではそういう研究はやってないんですけど、少し前
福谷半奈です。私は火星にも住めるような研究をしたいと思っています。大西さんは長期滞在で何をしているんですか？自由時間ではみんなで集まって音楽や映画を楽しむと聞きました。私はチームのみんなでミュージカルを楽しみたいと思っています。
はい、福野ひなたさん、どうもありがとうございます。僕はこの国際宇宙ステーションの中では普段はいろんな実験をしたりとか、宇宙ステーションの中を掃除したりとか、壊れた機械を直したりっていう仕事をしています。あと自由時間は、例えば日曜日は1日お休みなんですけど、さっきひなたちゃんが言ってくれたようにみんなで映画を見たりとか、音楽を聴いたり、あとは友達とメールしたりして過ごすことが多いです。僕も実はミュージカルとっても好きなので、ミュージカルを宇宙で見てみたいですけどね。ひなたちゃんもぜひ将来宇宙に来て、ミュージカルを見るっていう夢を叶えてください。応援してます。ありがとうございます。
こんにちは、上田奈央です。僕の将来の夢は宇宙飛行士になって宇宙から地球を見ることです。大西宇宙飛行士は
ISS のリーダーですが、リーダーでの仕事は何ですか？リーダーで一番頑張らなきゃいけないことは何ですか？
はい、米澤奈緒さん、どうもありがとうございます。ぜひ将来、宇宙飛行士目指して頑張ってください。僕は今、国際宇宙ステーションで、船長っていうリーダー役をしてますけれども、一番大事な仕事っていうのは他のみんなの、安全を守るっていうことですね。例えば宇宙ステーションの中で火事が起きましたっていう時とか、宇宙ステーションの中の例えば空気がどんどん外に漏れていってますみたいな、一刻も争う危険な事態になった時に、みんなの安全を守って、地球に例えば安全に帰るとか、あとは火事が起きてるんだったらその火事を消したりみたいな、そういったのを自分僕がみんなをこうまとめて、対処していく、行動していくっていうのが一番大事な船長の仕事になります。大変ですけど、すごくやりがいがある仕事なので今楽しく過ごしてます。質問ありがとうございます。
田口俊也です。大西さん、こんにちは。8歳の僕は ANA のパイロットになりたくて、11歳のお兄ちゃんは宇宙飛行士になりたいです。2人で勉強やスポーツを頑張っていますが、 ANA のパイロットと宇宙飛行士に共通する大切なことは何ですか？
はい、田口俊也さん、どうもありがとうございます。僕は昔パイロットで今は宇宙飛行士なので、ぜひ2人が、兄弟揃って夢を叶えてくれることを応援してます。ですね、2つの仕事に、共通してるなって思うことは、どっちの仕事もすごくこう緊張する場面ってあるんだけど、みんなも多分普段学校の生活の中で緊張することってありますよね。その時になんかこういつも通りできなかったりとか、こういつもみたいにこう例えば何かの発表会だったらいつもみたいにうまくできないことってあると思うんだけど、そういう場面でちゃんとなるべく普段通りできるかどうかっていうのがとても大事な仕事かなって思ってます。で、僕も最初からそんなことができたわけじゃなくて、たくさんそういう緊張する場面っていうのを経験することでなんとなくそういうことに慣れてきたように思うので、みんなもね、例えば勉強だったりスポーツやってても、いろいろ緊張する場面ってあるよね。テストだったりスポーツだったら何かの大会出たりみたいな、そういう、緊張する経験っていうのをなるべくたくさんこの先も積むといいんじゃないかなって思います。ぜひ頑張ってください。質問ありがとうございます。
はい、大西さん、ありがとうございました。今日は200名近い方が会場にいらっしゃっていますので、最後に大西宇宙飛行士との記念撮影をさせていただきたいと思います。皆様、会場の後方をご覧いただけますでしょうか？はい、では手を振ってるお姉さんのところ見ていただいてよろしいですか？はい。それではいきますよ。はい、ポーズ。はい、ありがとうございます。では最後に大西さんから一言お願いいたします。
はい、皆さん、今日は短い時間でしたけどどうもありがとうございました。今日の僕のお話をきっかけに少しでも宇宙について興味を持ってくれる人が出てきたら、僕もとっても嬉しいです。そして将来ぜひ宇宙飛行士を目指してもらえるととっても嬉しいです。この後は僕の ANA 時代の友達である上原さんと、あとは JAXA で今一緒に仕事をしている関川さんの楽しいトークセッションも待っていると聞いてます。ぜひこれから先のプログラムも楽しんでください。今日は本当にどうもありがとうございました。
大西さん、今日は宇宙からたくさんのことを教えてくださりありがとうございました。遠く離れた宇宙と地上が今日この教室でつながったことに私たちも感動しています。どうかこれからのミッションも安全に元気に頑張ってください。みんなで応援しております。それではさようなら。
Station. This is Houston ACR. That concludes the event. Thank you.
Thank you to all participants. Station, we are now resuming operational audio communications.
Munich, Houston, Giant Fishman 2.
Good, Johnny, Munich is Fishman 2.
Hey, Alex, just letting you know that the Lumina activity is complete with the correct parameters, and I was able to transfer 32 files.
Copy all. Good news, and thanks for your help.
Still Station on 2 for the ESA Power Banks.
Munich.
Hey, Munich, I was just noticing that the power bank activity is hard scheduled, but it's in the same place that Johnny and Talk are working their medical procedures. So just wanted to make sure it was okay that I do that after they're complete.
No issue from our side.
Okay, I'll put that in work as soon as they're done.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Ann and Brian Filter.
Go on, too.
Hey, Ann, I got three things for you, actually. First, the brine filter that you found yesterday in the PMM, we concur with your action to move it to the Node 3 end cone to be with the others, so thank you for taking care of that.
Copy, I'll leave it there.
Second of three items, we noticed in the lab camera there seemed to be some small 2 to 3 inch long pink cylinder floating lab forward. We're wondering if you could catch that for us.
And at the lab forward ATU looking for flying pink cylinders, I don't see anything offhand, but I'll keep an eye for it.
Thank you. And last thing, the aft ATU in the gym, earlier we think we may have had some issue with it. Would you mind giving us a comm check from there?
Sure thing. Stay by one. Station on 2 from the gym aft ATU.
We read you loud and clear. Thank you.
Have you seen? No problem.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for any available crew and PMA 3.
Yeah, I can take it.
Thanks, Doc. We're going to be equalizing with the PMA 3 soon by opening the IMV valve for a moment. We don't expect a major pressure differential, but if you hear a noise in a couple minutes, that's what it is.
Bobby, thanks for heads up.
Thank you for finding that.
Sure thing. My next question will be to help identify it. It's a pink connector cap of some sort. But I will ask around. It looks like the kind that are on these electrical connectors right here. So, fun fact, the IMV intake on Lab 01 is probably one of the strongest air sections in station. So most of anything you lose in the lab always ends up there. The other two are the airlock intake and the beam intake. Those three places are like space station lost and found.
Good to know. Thank you again.
Houston Station on 2 for Cameron. For the 1300 activity, the lab cam is pointing at lab deck 4.
Okay, we see it and we like the view. Thank you.
Are you okay with me starting the N2 vent cap this time?
Yep, we are ready. Go ahead.
I know you guys are in the middle of handover. Sorry if I am interrupting. Hopefully you can put it, but the vent cap spring just pulls the cap right back down, but it would be pretty easy to rig it to be held open, like with a zip tie. But as it is, it stays open. One of the things that might also be helpful, I don't know if we have extras, is on things like the emergency O2 ports and on the PDAs, there's a little clip that makes sure that the quick release mechanism is not actuated by accident. That type of clip would be perfect to pull the cap out, put the clip on, and leave the cap open. But if we don't have any extras of those, zip ties I think would work also.
All right, we like the ideas. Give us a few minutes to talk about it and figure out what solution we want.
Copy. And then a clarifying question. In 1.5, it says to photo document the cap. The cap looks exactly like figure 2, and I was wondering if there was anything in particular you want me to get photos of. I could get a video of the cap retracting back down, if that's helpful.
Now, from your description, it sounds like there's no change. So, no, we don't actually need video or photo of that right now.
picks up enough good reads, it goes right back to its original configuration when let go, so it's no change.
Station Houston, space to ground 2 for Ann and the cap adjustment.
Right on 2.
All right, we like your idea of the zip tie, so you are go to use the zip tie on that. Please photo document once you're done.
Copy, and the intent is to have that fully open, I assume, or fully retracted?
Yes, you are correct.
Copy, work.
Station Houston, space to ground 2 for Ann.
Ground 2.
Yeah, it looks like you're done with the vent cap zip tie activity. So I just want to give you a heads up that we're going to be doing a vent here at around 1345. When we do that, this is a test vent, when we do that, you're going to need hearing protection. And then at that time, we'll like your assessment of how loud the vent is. And Huntsville says they're good with you pausing your SIR activity during that short vent.
Great, that sounds good. One thing I'll be curious about is, with that fin retracted, the kind of the inner cylinder that seats into the that actually seats into where it's connected doesn't seat, right? So the pit is pulled back. So I guess what I'm saying is it's very loose fitting. So I'll be curious if the cap stays on when you vent, because there's no friction holding it on. It's kind of floating there with the lock pin loosely in the cap or the little indent where it connects to. You can see that in the pictures I threw them on SSC7. So it'll be interesting to see if it stays on. If it doesn't, then I think a piece of cap on tape would fix that.
Okay, good information. Thank you for the observation.
And before anybody starts worrying about eyeballs, if the cap goes flying, it is tethered, so it's not going to go anywhere if it does come off.
Okay, copy. Yep, you answered our next question on that. And so we're estimating the activity starts at 1345, so probably won't actually get the vent until around 1400. And we'll give you a heads up right before we do it.
Copy, sounds good. Thanks.
Station in Huntsville, face to ground 2 for Ann and Sophie.
Right on 2.
Okay, and a few things for you as you get started here. We first off can give you your go in step 1.2. We've confirmed all conditions are met. For node 2 today, a couple things. CAM 2 is being used for thigh cuffs, so we're going to have you use node 2 CAM 1, being careful not to have the thigh cuff in view. And when you have it set up, let us know and we'll route it down here.
Copy, node 2 CAM 1, and copy on the restriction to not film the thigh cuff.
Good readback. Also, we know it's tight in Node 2 with two crew on MWA and having two enablements. We'll let you all self-manage as a crew, but if you need to step away during SIR, step away from SIR during those side cuff ops for OCT, you are go to do that. And finally, when we come back AOS, we have the other side of LOS. We'll have Sharon available on Space to Ground 3 for you.
Space to Ground 3 on the other side. Thank you much.
Station Houston, space to ground 2, just heads up for everybody, no PWD or XPWD for the next few minutes. You can see that in the crew band.
Houston Station, copy. Are you about to take it down? Is that a last call, or is it already coming down?
All right, consider this a last call.
Copy. I'll check with crew.
Houston Station, on 2. We are good with PWD and XPWD.
Copy. Station Houston, space to ground 2. We are one command away from commanding the vent in the lab, so anybody in the lab needs to don hearing protection.
And Houston Station, copy.
Huntsville Station, copy. John here with you on space to ground 2.
We are with you and ready to talk, scheduled and you're ready.
Yes, ma'am, we're ready.
Okay, so we are anticipating potential ready comm again for your next round of thigh cuff ops. So we want to start those ops early to try and avoid the TDRS 275 path. What we are going to propose, if you all are okay with it, is we have coordinated with Surgeon, and first is moving TOMC TMC to 1745. By doing this, it should allow us to start that next set of operations at 1540, so that would be, Johnny, right after you complete your node 2 hatch open, and that would allow you all, but we can't have you step away for the node 2 hatch.
dispatch, we will begin the next round. Didn't catch that last part about closure. Is that something you said I would step away for to do for the No 2 match?
So that's correct, Johnny. Yeah, that you would just, when you get to the hatch close, you could just step away from assisting with the backup, close the hatch, and then return to those ops.
Yeah, copy all. That sounds good to both of us. Thanks for working the plan.
Thank you for the flexibility. This also then will allow TOX OCT and the docking activities to move immediately after the ultrasound and TPM and DP measurements, so you can hopefully also then TOX and dock the site cuts a little earlier.
Doc expresses that he greatly appreciates that, so it sounds like this is a good plan for everyone. Thank you.
And thank you all for your flexibility.
Station Houston, Space Ground 2 for the WSS vent. So the vent is going, but it is very slow. It's going to take probably another half hour to finish the vent, which means we won't be able to get you back PWD or XPWD until then. If you guys want potable water back sooner, we have the option of removing the cap and zip tie that Ann installed earlier. So if you get to that point and want that, let us know and we'll help you out.
Okay. Thanks for the FA. We copy it all. We'll let you know.
Sounds good.
Control station on 2 for smokiness.
What's that 2 for smokiness?
If you could please pass it on to Sharon, we don't have 3, but I can give her step 21.3. Both of those switches are on, the rack power and EPCU power, and the rest of the procedure is safe, minus 2 cells.
We copy.
Station Houston, Space Ground 2 for all USO's crew members. The potable bus is back, so you can use XPWD and PWD again.
Copy, thank you.
Station on 2 for WC.
Go for WC.
Yeah, I'm in step 4.3, and I'm just want to double check. So the pre-treat indicator connector shown in figure 8 does not match what we have here on our WC. The piping connector looks the exact same as the piping, the new piping, and then also the figure. They're both labeled X1, so I'm confident I have the correct connection. I just want to make sure that that you guys are tracking that the figure doesn't quite match what we've got.
Okay, copy. Sounds like you are confident you have the correct X1 connector, so we are going to continue. But we would like a photo of the system the way it is, so we can get an idea what it looks like.
Okay, yeah, I've got a photo. I'll download after I'm done.
Station Houston, Space Ground 2 for Ann, at your convenience, and talk about your timeline.
What are you for Ann?
Hey Ann, so you saw this during your Soviet activity that we were having some dropouts of the video from that Node 2-1 camcorder. Since we're planning to use that for some of the upcoming PAO events in the next few days, we'd like to go ahead and replace its video cables. There is a task list item with details of Photo TV, the 2CAM cable swap, and we would like you to execute that sometime this afternoon. Once you're done with that, turn the camcorder on, let us know, and we'll do a checkout, and of course, recommend pointing it away from any TICUF activities if those are still ongoing when you're done. Any questions?
Okay, no questions. I will get into that when I'm done with the reskill for Sophia.
Sounds great.
Houston Station, Spacecraft 2 for Dragon, Node 2 hatch open.
Johnny, we are ready for you to open the Node 2 overhead hatch.
Okay, that should work.
So, Station on 2 for Sophie Storage.
Hustle, let's get it.
Yeah, so it's like when you're moving out and you have a couple random items left, you're not sure what to do with them. I've got in a bag a bunch of non-tethered caps from the water connectors and such, and the accumulator. I just found in the procedure, none of these are listed on the stow note, I just found in the procedure that the accumulator goes into a chamber bag and the SOFI kit, I assume that's a Ziploc bag. I'm wondering if you have a location for the caps. I can give you an inventory of those caps. It's both ends of the each electrical connector and then one each of the water connector caps.
And we definitely can relate to those leftover cap connectors when we're trying to move stuff around. We are checking. We'll get back to you.
Good night.
Photon 2, the Node 2 array hatch is open.
Copy.
And Ann Hunsel back with you on 2-4, answer on chat.
51-2.
Okay, so the accumulator is going to go into the selfie kit directly. Within that chamber bag or kit, we are going to put the cap in that, and then that goes in the selfie kit.
Great, and all those kits and bags are just Ziplocs, is that correct?
Yeah.
The selfie kit is just a big Ziploc. Okay, awesome, thank you so much.
Sensation on 2 for WHC.
Go for WHC.
We're at 4.12, and I don't see a tethered cap for the SM on the flux separator. I think we're going to be connecting the new piping soon, so I'm just going to press, but I can't find a tethered cap in there.
Copy, checking. And back with you, Nicole. Yeah, we are good not having the cap on briefly. We'll take a note of that. And as one quick go back, we did look at some pictures for that connector you mentioned to us earlier. And the procedure, the picture in the procedure is old, and some newer pictures showed that what you described was correct. So everything is as we expect now.
Copy that. Thank you. It's station on 2 for DVC. The Cree routing is complete.
Copy.
Houston Station Dispatch, you're looking for a go to close the Node 2 Zenith hatch.
Mixing is complete. You are go to close the hatch.
Roger, in work. Houston Station on 2, the Node 2 overhead hatch is closed.
Houston copies.
Houston Station on 2 for WHC activation 3.4.
Yeah, for step 3.4, you are go to remain integrated with the PA.
Copy, integrated with UPA, thanks.
Here's Station Space Ground 2.
Go ahead on 2.
Hey, just letting you know, I am doing the OCC 2 power down, and the procedures had me turn off switch 4 of the inverter, 1038, to number 1038, which is step 6.2. I did turn it off, but that's actually the wrong power chain. That one led to the RFID logistics reader. So requesting to turn that back on, and actually the correct power chain is off of a different inverter, serial number 1040, but the switch number is correct.
We're checking. And that could be Johnny. Yes, we like your plan to power back on the RFID reader and then turn off the OCT2.
Okay, we'll do. It's actually the second power chain before turning that off. But and I do think that switch 4 inverter 1-2-3 used to be the OCT2 because I can see a piece of tape saying OCT2. I'm not sure when we changed that. But if we do end up using 1-0-4-0 switch to 4, I can switch the tape up.
Yeah, we copy the tape. We'll take that back and figure out what the permanent config will be in. So you can leave the tape as is for now.
Cool, thanks.
Station on 2, the WHC piping R&R is complete.
Excellent work, thank you.
Station on 2 for HDSCI cable.
Go ahead, Ann.
Hey, the startup hasn't been grabbing any cable. I grabbed a cable, and I was just about to start routing it. I noticed there's a little tag on it that says suspect. So I was wondering if you guys could check your records on serial number 1006 and tell me if that's a good cable or a bad cable.
If possible, can you? Is there one available that does not have a suspect tab on it? That may be simpler.
I will go back to the CTV and see if I can find another one. So station on 2 for the main cleaning.
With you on 2?
Okay, I'm complete with the cleaning, and I would call the degree very light, like light to minimal, minimal to no degree on the inlet stick.
Pick up, yeah.
Okay, station on 2 for camcorder cable.
Go for camcorder cable.
Node 2, number 1. Camera is now connected with brand new cable, serial number 1012, and it is turned on and face the wall to go for checkouts. And just for your tracking purposes, in that CTB, both 1006 and 1010 are marked as suspect.
All right, copy all. Thank you for that info. We're routing it now, and we'll take a look.
Copy.
All right, and we do see video, so that was successful changeout, and we'll leave it up for a few minutes and make sure it's steady.
Okay, and the tapas item just has me labeling 1008 as also suspect. Would you like me to put that with a suspect studies or leave it tempstowed at S6 for the procedure?
Checking. And Ann, we are actually would like you to trash that old video cable.
Okay, I'll scratch 1008 in the hardware trash.
Good read back.
Houston station on 2 for the WHC flush tank fill, set 2.2.
We're here.
Hey, looking for your go in 2.2 to continue.
And you are go to continue.
Okay, thanks.
Houston station on 2 for switch.
Go for stowage.
Hey, Travis, there's a double callback. Serial number 1040. Temp stored at JPM 1, Tech 1A, since 3632. And I wonder if I can move it to a different location, since there is a three location for one of the action floor members.
Okay, we copy one and move it. Do you have a suggested location?
It's up to us. I can relocate it to another route in GPM, and I will let you know.
Yeah, top, that works for us. Move it to another rack in JPM and tell us where to put it.
Yes, I'm station on 2 for the call back.
Go ahead, Tuck.
Okay, I moved it to a JPM 1417 area without blocking any other hardware or ventilation system.
All right, we copy forward 7. Sounds good to us.
Houston station on 2 for WHC.
Go for WHC.
And in step 3.7, say the post-flight analysis bag is about 60% full. No off nominal findings, it's all nice and clear. And then the number of uses is 87,061, so 87061.
Copy all, thank you.
Station on 2 for SSC4.
Go ahead on SSC4.
I think the Ethernet cable was just loose. I was able to reseat it, and it looks like it's connected now. And then I just put a little piece of tape on there to keep it connected while it's on the SSC4.
All right, that is a great config. Thank you.
Station space ground 2 for Johnny's computer.
Go ahead, Johnny.
I inspected the battery. It did appear to be seated. I nonetheless turned the computer off, unseated the battery, then reseated it, and turned it back on.
Okay, yeah, that was probably going to be our next step anyway, so thank you for taking care of that.
Okay. Let me know if that didn't fix the problem and you'd like me to try any other troubleshooting steps.
Copy. We'll let you know if there's anything else to do.
During the mission here with Swarovski, we will have 13 Polish experiments that will be flying. It's not only about the science, it's also building industrial capability in our member states, gaining support for our exploration program, so these missions can be highly successful for ESA and for the member states that decides to implement them.
And does it also grow the pool of astronauts in a unique way? What are you finding as the pool is growing?
Well, the pool is growing a little bit, of course. The project astronauts, after their mission, they go back to their normal job, but of course they remain astronauts, they remain advocates for space, for education, for STEM. This is also a big part of this mission, inspiration that we want to bring. If we want to fight climate change, for example, in the future, we need more and more engineers, we need more scientists, and this is needed for our society. So inspiration is also a very important part of this mission.
So tell us a little bit about Swaboj. Why was he chosen? Why was he chosen for this mission? What do you think he's going to bring to the table during the mission and after?
Well, Swaboj, in the first place, of course, is an excellent scientist. He has worked a lot in CERN as an engineer and a scientist, so he brings that aspect, of course, with him. personality. If you see pictures of Swafosh, he's always smiling, so that is also something that he can bring to a crew, but also to the European Astronaut Corps. And then again, in Poland, he's really a hero, he's really a star, and that's really great for the young kids that can look up to him and that can also invest their careers in science and in technology.
So you think it's going to make a huge impact in Poland. What do you think it's going to do for exploration for the young people of the nation of Poland?
Well, I think it's good for exploration and also for ESA, by the way, because through the mission of Swawosz, Poland is also engaging more in exploration, engaging more in the European Space Agency, bringing extra funds to us, so that's great. And again, we will build up industrial capability in Poland, which we all also need. If we want to go to a low Earth orbit economy, for example, mm-hmm. we will have to build up more actors, more players that can work and that can contribute to this economy. And therefore, as well, this is a great endeavor. And of course, we will need young people in the future to do this. And that's why Swafosz and this mission will be a great success, I believe.
Thank you so much, Frank. Thank you for being here. Good luck to ESA. Congratulations to ESA and the country of Poland. And I can't wait for this wonderful evening. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, let's move on to our next crew member. It's Tibor Kapu. It's an exciting time for his country and his mission, and I want to tell you a little bit about it. This Central European nation is among those who have more recently turned their attention to spaceflight, adopting a formal strategy to get a Hungarian into space for the first time. I'm joined now by Gyula Sirinyi, a fellow Hungarian astronaut who has been selected alongside Tibor in HUNOR's first class of astronauts. Thank you so much for being here, Gyula. You and Tibor were selected around the same time. Tell us what that moment was like.
Thank you. It's a great honor to be here. Well, it's a really interesting story because we had a really long selection process, and after the selection, we had 14 months of basic training in Hungary. And even in these 14 months, we've been to the U.S. and we've met Axiom people. We've been to Axiom, and they also were part of our selection. And after that, our selection happened from the two of us. From the four of us, two of us were selected to do the mission-specific training we are here right now and doing right now, preparing for this mission, actually. So this was an amazing journey for us.
So the program, the HUNOR program, only kicked off in 2021. That's a really fast trip to this moment that we're at now. Tell us what that was like. Do you think that this is right on track? Are you excited for the progress that you're seeing?
Well, we had to do it really fast because we were not planning for Axiom 4 specifically. We were planning to do a mission. But Axiom 4 happened, and so we had to
jump on it.
It was really, really intense for us. But the basic training were finished, and we could continue our training. But we didn't have a lot of time between selection and the Axiom 4 training. We had around just 1 month of period when we were selected and waiting for a mission.
And what stands out to you from that training, from the AX4 training? What stands out? Something that was really bonding? Something that surprised you?
From the bonding perspective, if you ask for that, I would say that our NOAA training were amazing, which was when we were at Mexico with the
That's what Papa said, that he loved being
young. He did say that.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. That was amazing. But it's a great analogy of being on the space station. You know, you are not a very well comfortable position. With the crew, you have to solve problems. It's really like being on the space station, and so I really enjoyed that part. But we've done so many things. It was an amazing journey.
Tibor has a very intense mission when he's on the ISS, lots of things to
yes.
do. What's he going to bring to the table when he's on the ISS?
So from Hungary, all of the experiments we are going up there is Hungarian experiments, and it's like a really good opportunity for Hungarian researchers to show and to get their experiments conducted on the ISS in space. And it's like he's going to be doing radiation experiments. He's going to be growing plants in space.
So many things.
He's got amazing.
I'm joined now by Axiom Space's Chief Strategy Officer, Matt Onler. Matt, thanks for being here. Where else would you be, though?
No, thanks for having me. This is a fantastic day. It's going to be a fantastic launch site.
So So let's talk about Peggy Whitson. Tough question. Can you describe her in 4 words?
Sure. You hit me with a hard question right off the bat. I'm going to go with gracious space professional leader.
Pretty good. That's pretty excellent. When Peggy's not preparing to go to space or recovering from coming back from space, what is she doing in the office day to day?
Yeah, she's actually very helpful. Her and our other astronauts for Axiom are really helpful in helping us design our space station. And actually, she gets right back to it after her last mission. It was only about a week, and I found her in the lab helping engineers. We were designing the payload rack. And those sort of insights from someone who's actually been there and had worked in microgravity are really, really important and valuable for our engineers.
And I know just walking around the office, you feel like, it's Peggy Whitson. And then she's working alongside you, and she's giving you great advice, showing you how to be a leader in every single moment. So it's really wonderful to have her. But also watch her on a mission on the ISS. What excites you about commercial space travel?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that excite me about commercial space, but one of the things that I think is going to be so amazing and really change the world is the things that we're going to be able to make in space that you can't otherwise make. You know, we're flying over 60 experiments on this flight. A few of those are repeats where we've flown this particular team on all 4 of our missions. And by leveraging microgravity and how it affects cancer tumor growth and stem cell growth, they're discovering novel treatments for cancer. I think those sort of things are just one of many, many examples that are going to occur once we have a commercial space station up there.
So this is our 4th mission. Wonderful to see all the growth from 1, 2, 3, and up 4. What are the opportunities for international partners, for foreign nations?
Yeah, I really think that we are becoming the world's space agency and really helping lots of countries emerge in space. This particular mission is a great example where all 3 of these countries have flown 1 astronaut before, but it was all 40 years ago, so almost 2 generations for these countries. And so it's very, very impactful and very, very humbling to be able to help these countries. And one of the things that I Googled this morning was there are 350 million children in India under age 15. So there's more children in India under age 15 than there are people in the United States. I hope all 350 million of those watch the launch and are inspired by it and want to get into space and exploration and engineering and math.
I know that there are watch parties happening right now all around the world, unique bond in the midst of shared challenges. And as they discovered at NOLS, this one is no different.
As you heard from Papa and Jula, NOLS stood out amongst all of their training. They faced days of harsh winds and challenging weather conditions that limited the range of their expedition at NOLS. But afterwards, their instructor commented how extraordinarily this crew collectively exuded a sense of joy throughout. In spite of whatever came at them, they still maintained this attitude, overcoming each challenge with a smile and a willingness to lift each other up. So to celebrate their unique bond, the crew chose a baby swan as their zero-G indicator, which is named Joy. And as luck would have it, we have our very own Joy, the baby swan, to serve as our microgravity indicator. And, yeah, as luck has it, we have a full dose of gravity.
Bummer for us.
So, but we should keep it here just in case. Safe and sound. In case any of that changes, we'll have our own gravity indicator. Let us know.
Speaking of training, as you might imagine, astronaut preparation can be extensive, from training that is specific to each crew member's role to learning SpaceX protocols, space station systems, and preparing for the science and outreach activities they'll be conducting in space. Private astronaut training is rigorous. In addition to the work in the field like they did through NOLS, the AX-4 crew spent about 35 days training inside Dragon. To prepare them for flight, our teams at SpaceX spent the last several months teaching the crew about orbital mechanics and how to live in Dragon. While this was, of course, more of a review for Peggy Whitson, for the rest of the crew, this will be their first time flying to space. The training program includes nearly 100 different lessons covering all aspects of flight. The crew spent time inside our Dragon training spacecraft to run simulations of ascent, space station rendezvous, and re-entry. They also spend time at the launch pad in our suit-up room and working through emergency procedures that would be necessary in the unlikely event of a pad abort.
And in addition to the critical training from SpaceX associated with those dynamic phases of ascent and return,
Axiom Space facilitated a host of training efforts over the last 10 months to ensure the Axiom 4 crew and all those who support them are ready for their mission on station. Kicking off efforts at Axiom Space headquarters in August of 2024, this crew immediately began to familiarize themselves with the range of teams and systems and operations they would need to become proficient with in order to succeed. So from selecting the food they would eat and learning how to prepare it with the food warming and hydration systems on orbit, to understanding the tools and systems available to them throughout the station, learning every seemingly small detail is critical to ensure mission success. While in Building 9 at Johnson Space Center, the crews learned and rehearsed routine operations, medical procedures, emergency situations, and media outreach engagements. All of these lessons that would not only bond them into a crew, but also ensure they were physically and mentally prepared for any scenario surrounding their spaceflight. This included, as we've mentioned, a week of training with the National
Air Force. We're 7 minutes and 50 seconds from liftoff of the Axiom 4 mission. As the countdown continues, let's take a closer look at the vehicles that will be taking the AX4 crew to the International Space Station today. At the very top is our Dragon spacecraft. This is where the crew is currently sitting and will spend their 28-hour flight to the orbiting lab. With the capacity to carry up to 7 passengers, Dragon has proven to be quite a versatile
Dragon
spacecraft.
Dragon SpaceX 4 status update.
We're going to listen into this status
Go
update.
Go ahead, Samir. What's the update?
All right, Peggy, we are troubleshooting an issue with uploading the current wind conditions to the vehicle. This must be completed before launch escape system is armed so that the vehicle can correctly target offshore splashdown in the event of an escape. We're tracking several troubleshooting paths at this time and are working to resolve the issue, so I will follow up with you in 10 minutes on the status. How copy?
Copy. You're troubleshooting the ability to upload the wind conditions for the launch escape system, and you'll update us in 10. Thanks.
And just to make that super crystal clear, if we do not successfully upload this by the time we get to LES arm, we will be no-go for launch.
I was thinking you might be thinking that as well. Dragon copy.
So we heard some chatter there from Mission Control and acknowledged by the crew that we're troubleshooting that upload issue now. But of course, our teams will continue working diligently in the lead up to launch in hopes that we can preserve today's launch attempt. So with that, I want to step back in and talk a little bit more about the spacecraft that we are working on today. Dragon is a very versatile spacecraft. It can autonomously dock to the space station when outfitted with a docking adapter, as it is today for Axiom Mission 4. But Dragon can also be configured with hardware to support a spacewalk, which made its debut on the Polaris Dawn mission last year. And, of course, in free flyer mode, the docking adapter can be swapped out for that iconic cupola, which is essentially a giant glass dome that allows for 360-degree views of space.
The crew travels in the pressurized section, which is the top portion of the spacecraft. This area allows for the transport of people and environmentally sensitive cargo. Dragon's trunk, which sits below the pressurized section, can carry unpressurized cargo when needed and remains attached to the Dragon until shortly before reentry into Earth's atmosphere.
Dragon has played a significant role in advancing our future in space by safely transporting crew and cargo to and from the space station. There are currently 4 Dragon spacecraft supporting human spaceflight missions that have docked to the station: Endeavour, Resilience, Endurance, and Freedom. And this mission will be adding 1 new Dragon to that list, whose name will be revealed later today by our commander, Peggy Whitson. Dragon and the AX4 crew will be delivered to orbit today by Falcon 9, SpaceX's 2-stage rocket developed and manufactured right here in Hawthorne, California. Falcon 9 is the first orbital-class rocket capable of reflight. The booster, or first stage of the rocket, is the tallest part of the vehicle. Today's booster is flying for the second time. Reusability is key to making spaceflight more routine and ultimately what will enable humans to become a multi-planetary species. A total of 48 boosters have flown multiple missions, with the record for a single booster now standing at 28 missions. After today's launch, the first stage will be returning to SpaceX's Landing Zone 1 at Cape Canaveral Space Force Station, which is just about 9 miles away from Launch Complex 39A.
Above the first stage and below Dragon is Falcon 9's second stage, which will secure Dragon's entry into low Earth orbit before separating, leaving Dragon to continue its journey to the space station.
beautiful wide shot of Falcon 9 on your screen there. We've got the crew access arm still in place leading up to the Dragon spacecraft. And Falcon 9 right there in the middle is SpaceX's workhorse vehicle, having completed 492 missions since its first flight in 2010, more than any other rocket flying today. And through missions like today's, Dragon is helping lay the groundwork for deep space exploration, rapidly expanding our knowledge of how humans will adapt, live, and work in space. It's hard to believe that it's been 5 years since Dragon radically changed how humanity gets to space. After the space shuttle program ended in 2011, NASA astronauts primarily used the Russian Soyuz 2020. The Soyuz was the only human-capable launch vehicle available. In December 2010, Dragon became the first commercially built and operated spacecraft to be recovered successfully from orbit. This mission, known as COTS-1, was the first demonstration flight for NASA's Commercial Orbital Transportation Services, or COTS, program. The purpose of COTS was to develop and demonstrate commercial sources for cargo resupply of the ISS. Fun fact, the Dragon that flew on that historic mission is currently hanging behind us in front of SpaceX Mission Control in Hawthorne. Just 10 years later, in May 2020, Demo 2 launched astronauts from U.S. soil for the first time in nearly a decade. Demo 2 was Dragon's first human spaceflight mission. The spacecraft named Endeavour carried NASA astronauts Doug Hurley and Bob Denton to the International Space Station in the first orbital human spaceflight launched from the United States since that final space shuttle mission in 2011, and it was the first ever operated by a commercial provider. Alongside the NASA missions, Dragon has also flown several private missions to orbit. In September 2021, on the Inspiration 4 mission, Dragon became the first private spacecraft to take an all-civilian crew to orbit. The following year, Dragon flew Axiom Mission 1, the first all-private astronaut mission to the ISS in collaboration with Axiom Space, the first of now four flights together with Axiom Space to take commercial crews from around the world to the International Space Station. Then in September of 2024, the Polaris Dawn mission delivered the first commercial spacewalk. And most recently in March, Dragon supported the FROM 2 and NASA Crew 10 missions. From that first crew mission in May 2020 all the way through today, Dragon has supported 17 human spaceflight missions and flown 66 crew members representing 17 countries. Overall, Dragon has flown 52 missions, carrying over 300,000 pounds of cargo to space. In the history of human spaceflight, fewer than 700 people have ever been to orbit. At SpaceX, we want to help create a future where not just hundreds of people, but thousands and ultimately millions of people can travel off Earth to live and work in space and on other planets.
Each of those missions you just mentioned represent truly significant firsts that have helped shape this generation of human spaceflight. And at Axiom Space, we've had the opportunity to provide foundational firsts as well, working with SpaceX and NASA on all three of our orbital spaceflight missions to date. So fully appreciate the progress being made together, it's worth noting that our three flights have helped provide greater access and set new precedents worldwide for private astronaut missions aboard the International Space Station, all within the last 4 years. I'd love to take a quick look back at just a few of these with you now. On April 8, 2022, just over 3 years ago, Axiom Mission 1 launched...
Dragon copy.
Pausing there for that update. I believe that may be all for that. I'll pick up where we were. So Commander Peggy Whitson led American John Schaffner and two Saudi Arabian national astronauts, Ali Al-Karni and Rayana Barnawi, on a 10-day mission outside our atmosphere with over 8 days aboard the orbiting laboratory. And over the course of their 126 orbits, they conducted 26 research efforts and participated in 20 STEAM events. This became the first private mission with government-sponsored astronauts. And last year, in January of 2024, we conducted Axiom Mission 3, which saw Commander Michael Lopez Alegria once again lead a crew to the station. This was our longest flight to date at over 21 days, covering 346 orbits. The crew spent over 18 days on station and worked with 54 payloads, conducted 28 STEAM engagements. Flying once again on Dragon Freedom, this was the first all-European astronaut mission to the International Space Station. And here we are today. With Axiom Mission 4, we add a projected 14 more days of operational flight heritage and make possible an additional 60 research payloads. Each of these flights builds on the one that came before it, certainly, but it also is meant to open up access to low Earth orbit just a little bit more, providing opportunities for more nations and organizations than ever before to participate in human spaceflight. It's the fact that now 11 nations have been represented across our flights that speaks to the success of missions like these.
We visited with the crew of AX4 to get their thoughts on what our collective future in space looks like. I love Peggy's comment there that this is really just the tip of the iceberg.
Absolutely.
The International Space Station may not last forever, but there's a lot in the works today to enable even more research and more capabilities off-planet.
Of course. And so for active space, missions like AX4, as we've said, not only create opportunities for our customers to accomplish their goals in microgravity, but they are also invaluable in developing our teams and our systems for our own future Axiom Station.
When the time comes and the International Space Station reaches the end of its operational life,
Dragon Space X4 awareness, we are continuing troubleshooting on the wind file upload. It has not been resolved yet. Troubleshooting is continuing.
To follow up on that comment we had earlier,
Dragon Space continuing troubleshooting.
We are going to keep working this issue in the lead up to launch. So as I was saying, when the time comes and the International Space Station reaches the end of its operational life, SpaceX will help deorbit the orbiting lab. NASA awarded SpaceX a contract to develop the U.S. Deorbit Vehicle, or USDV, a modified Dragon designed to guide the station through a controlled reentry into the Earth's atmosphere to ensure that upon reentry, the station comes down in the intended location and does it safely.
But before that happens, there are plans in place where Axiom Space will utilize the remaining operational lifetime of the International Space Station to facilitate a transition to our own commercially owned and operated station. Selected by NASA in 2020, Axiom Space is the only commercial company to attach its privately developed modules to the International Space Station. And here's what this transitional timeline looks like at this point. Our first step will be to attach a module to the station that we call the Payload Power Thermal Module, or PPTM. This module is designed to receive any critical hardware, payloads, or tools from the ISS that the international community may want to continue to utilize. Then that will undock, detaching from the space station, rendezvous with our second module, known as Habitat Module 1. Together, these two modules can support four crew members and enable a host of manufacturing and research efforts in microgravity. From there, the station will continue to build out over the following years until we have built out an entire Axiom Station, as you see it there, with a second habitation module, an airlock, the open windows down below, the Earth Observatory, and the research and manufacturing lab. All of this, once fully assembled, allows Axiom Station to enable customers to forge their own future in low Earth orbit.
Speaking of our future in low Earth orbit, let's get a status update from John I about today's mission.
Ronnie, we're just inside T-minus 53 minutes. We're continuing to count down. Obviously, the thing we're waiting to hear from over the countdown net is the troubleshooting going on with the wind upload of data to the Dragon spacecraft. We heard just a couple of minutes ago they're still working on it. We have to have that on board before we get to essentially crew access armor track and then launch escape system armed. So we're going to continue to monitor that as we get a little bit closer. Now on the Falcon 9, good news, the chief engineer pulled the team. They don't see any issues right now. They'll be doing their final pull at T-minus 45 minutes or so to go into propellant load. Now, we talked about Dragon. They're working no other issues other than getting the wind file uploaded. The good news, weather, the weather officer, T-minus 1 hour, said phenomenal. So we'll take that all night long. And then finally, around the launch pad, flight danger, hazard areas are clear, both around both pad 39A as well as tonight landing zone 1, because the first stage is coming back about 9 miles south of the launch site. So currently everything continuing to look good except for that one issue we're working on, Dragon. We'll keep listening in. We'll bring an update. We'll keep our fingers crossed. But we're coming up on T-minus 51 minutes. Everything continuing to count down, hopefully, to an on-time launch just less than an hour from now.
A
Attention Falcon launch operators. The propellant load and launch go-no-go pole is open in stud 11.87 of 1.160.
And at just under an hour to go until launch, we want to welcome in all of those tuning in by way of NASA's live stream that have just joined our launch coverage of Axiom Mission 4. We're joined now by Sandra Jones with NASA Communications from Mission Control at the Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas. Thank you for joining, Sandra.
Thanks, Sandra. We'll hear more from Mission Control in just a few minutes, but we do want to take a moment first to introduce everyone to the crew of AX4. Aside from Axiom Space Commander Peggy Whitson, each crew member represents a return to human spaceflight for their nation after more than 40 years.
And starting with our commander, today's mission is led by Peggy Whitson of the United States. There is simply not enough time to cover her entire resume, but to give you just a few highlights, Peggy has earned degrees in biology, chemistry, and biochemistry. She was the first female commander of the International Space Station. She has spent over 675 total days in space, during which she logged 60 hours across 10 spacewalks. She is also a two-time commander for Axiom Space, having previously served aboard AX2, and she was just inducted as a member of the 2025 Astronaut Hall of Fame. So congratulations and well-deserved, Peggy.
Next is mission pilot Shubhanshu Shukla of India, whose call sign as a test pilot is Shuk. Representing the Indian Space Research Organization, or ISRO, Shuk is also an astronaut designate of India's inaugural human spaceflight effort, Gagayaan, featuring an Indian-built rocket and spacecraft. He was commissioned into the Indian Air Force Fighter Wing in 2006 and achieved the rank of group captain in 2024. He has over 2,000 hours of flight experience aboard a variety of aircraft.
And our third crew member is mission specialist Sławomir Wiśniewski of Poland. He is representing the European Space Agency as a project astronaut, coming from the reserve class of 2022, much like Marcus Wandt, who served as a mission specialist on AX3. A scientist by trade, Sławomir has earned his Master of Science with honors from Łódź University of Technology in 2008. He holds a second Master of Science and a graduate engineering diploma as well. He also spent 2 years as the engineer in charge of the world-famous Large Hadron Collider in Switzerland, beginning in 2018.
And rounding out this crew is mission specialist Tibor Kapu of Hungary, who represents the Hungarian Orbit Astronaut Program, or HUNOR. He graduated from the Budapest University of Technology and Economics, earning a degree in mechanical engineering, followed by a master's degree specializing in polymer technology. In 2023, Tibor emerged as one of four Hungarians selected from a pool of 247 candidates for the HUNOR astronaut program.
And together, they are the crew of AX4, Axiom Space's fourth private astronaut mission to the International Space Station. Today's flight represents the return to space flight for three nations, but it also highlights the growing opportunities for nations and entities around the world to conduct meaningful work in low Earth orbit. And right now, as you see there, Peggy, Shuks, Sławomir, and Tibor sit inside Dragon. There are these are the students and teachers at the Nabaram Hansre English School in Jamshedpur, India, gathering together to watch Shubhanshu lift off. How exciting.
Now we have great views from Poland. Crowds are beginning to gather here, including children from Polish schools, to witness Sławomir's launch on the planetarium's dome. The event was organized by the Ministry of Economic Development and Technology, the Polish Space Agency, and the European Space Agency. I love seeing these views from around the world.
It's truly incredible.
Yes,
enjoy the excitement around the world.
Here we go for Section 5, and when ready, report, go for launch. For awareness, we're still troubleshooting the wind upload file. I will have a few more words for you after you confirm your go for launch.
We'll go inward, Section 5. And SpaceX Dragon, we are go for launch. Section 5 is complete.
Copy, Section 5 complete. All right, for awareness on timeline, we have to have the launch escape system armed by T-minus 37 minutes. So we are going to take this as far as we can. What I'll need from you guys is a very fast turn on the commanding for launch escape arm, provided we get to that point. Copy.
Copy. Understand LES has to be armed by no later than T-minus 37 minutes, and we will be prepared.
Copy that.
Comments worker back here at the webcast desk. We're inside T-minus 45 minutes. Right now, we've just heard from the Dragon team that you take it down to about T-minus 37 minutes.
Launch director on the countdown. The pull is complete, and the team is ready for crew access arm retract and propellant load and launch pending resolution of the wind upload issue. For all operators in MCC and Hangar X, both controls are going to lockdown at T-minus 45 minutes and will remain in this state until the LES system is disarmed. All operators are to remain at their console and maintain a sterile cockpit until the MD confirms successful disarming of the launch escape system following orbit insertion or propellant offload in the event of a scrub. For non-urgent no-go conditions, brief the CE or LD and they will approve aborting the countdown. For urgent issues affecting the safety of the operation, operators shall call multiple polls on the countdown net. Launch control will abort the launch auto sequence immediately and proceed into the launch abort auto sequence. At T-minus 10 seconds, launch control will be hands-off and relying on automated abort criteria for the remainder of the count. Operators shall advise the launch director whether structural breakup or fire is imminent or occurring per Dragon manual escape flight rules. Launch control, you may proceed with arming the crew arm for movement.
Okay, we're at T-minus 43 minutes, 15 seconds and counting. You've heard the SpaceX launch director giving final instructions to the team. We have cleared our propellant loading pole.
Crew access arm retraction has started.
And now we've heard, and you can see on the screen, crew access arm is pulling away from the Dragon spacecraft. This is going to take about a minute, minute and a half to retract all the way, and we'll get confirmation it is in the launch position. The next step after that is going to be the crew, close the visors, confirm that, and then begin launch escape arming. As we mentioned, we want to get launch escape arming finished by about T-minus 37 minutes, which means we've got about 5 minutes to finish troubleshooting the wind upload to the Dragon vehicle. Now, currently on Falcon 9, all conditions are go on the launch vehicle. That was the poll that we and the instructions we heard from the launch director. Dragon's working, it's one issue. Weather looks good. Range is ready to support.
Crew access arm retraction complete.
All right, that is the confirmation. The arm is back in the launch position. Next, they'll give the crew the command to go ahead and close and lock their visors. I think right now we're probably waiting just a little bit longer. We want to give the Dragon team as much time as they can have before we move into the sequence where we then have the crew arm the launch escape system. Now, if we do get through this and we solve the upload issue, at T-minus 35 minutes, we will begin propellant load. Once we do that, then there's no chance to hold the clock. We would have to complete the countdown and launch on time, or as we have mentioned during the webcast, we do have another opportunity tomorrow about 24 hours from now. We're inside 41 minutes, continuing to troubleshoot the problem. Here is a crew inside the capsule on the right-hand side. See the status bar on the bottom and the clock counting down. Now, if we get the go, we'll hear then the commands to begin the launch escape system arming. The crew will confirm about a minute later that they're armed. And that would complete the major events before a propellant load would begin at T-minus 35 minutes. Views of Falcon 9 and Dragon on Launch Complex 39A on the Kennedy Space Center. Everybody is clear of the launch pad, clear of the launch complex. The danger and hazard areas have been confirmed clear, and we're ready. We're just waiting to find out whether or not we're going to be able to continue forward in the countdown. We should know that answer within the next couple of minutes. Now, if need be, if we do have to hold the countdown, that would be a scrub for the night. Right now, as we talked about earlier, the space station orbit is passing over Kennedy Space Center, getting everything aligned.
Yes, SpaceX wind upload is complete. You are go for Section 6, close visors and arm launch escape system.
Visors are closed and arming launch escape system now.
All right. That's good news. We've got the winds uploaded. those in the visor you can see on the screen. We're also going to begin escape system arming. It's going to take about 50 seconds once we get into it. We will then get confirmation that the launch escape system is armed. And from there, we will move into propellant loading, coming up in 3 minutes at T-minus 35. So we passed a major milestone. Everything looking good. And it's kind of quiet here right now. Everybody's kind of tense. We're waiting to see how we go, Paul. But with that, it looks like we're doing good in the timeline.
Launch escape system is verified on.
Very good. With all of those call-outs and the progress now being made again towards launch, let us tell you more about your destination, the International Space Station. And with that, we'll send you to NASA's Johnson Space Center and Sandra Jones for all things tracking about the mission.
For the start of propellant load. Propellant load has started.
Thanks, Sandra. And so things are looking good on the launch pad. The teams are continuing to progress towards launch at 2:31 a.m. Eastern. We'd love to take a minute and just take a look back at what's happened already this evening to get us to this point in the countdown. So for context, we want to say this crew has been living in an isolated quarantine bubble for the last 4 weeks, having reported to quarantine on May 25th. In that time, they have shifted their sleep regimen to adjust their circadian rhythm to match those on board the International Space Station. And over the last few days, they have finessed that further to be ready for today. In fact, their wake-up call was set to 6:30 p.m. yesterday, depending on where you are. But then about 4.5 hours prior to the scheduled launch time, the Axiom Space Ground Operations team drove the X4 crew to Kennedy Space Center, where they shared a brief moment with loved ones before officially being handed over to SpaceX for today's launch. This handover event has taken on quite a few forms over the years, but there's always something truly special about creating a moment, even just for a few minutes, in the midst of all of this operational choreography, to pause and share a moment with loved ones. And there you see the team did just that in front of the VAB before getting into the Teslas and riding out to the Falcon Support Building to be ready for launch today.
Absolutely. After that T-minus 4 hour briefing, the SpaceX team helped the crew suit up at our Falcon Support Building. You got a video on your screen that was recorded earlier today of the crew stepping out in their suits and waving to everybody there for the first time before getting in our two Teslas to caravan over to Launch Complex 39A. They do ride in pairs over to 39A. Often accompanied by members of our launch closeout team, who you see there as the crew celebrates that they are on their way over to launch. Once they reached the tower, they ascended up to the Dragon spacecraft and were able to make one last phone call before sighting the white room wall. Here you see the crew walking across the crew access arm, getting their boarding passes handed to them and checked by our closeout team. You'll notice that Peggy Whitson's is gold because she is a frequent flyer with us here at SpaceX. And then once our crew ingressed Dragon, we completed suit leak checks and comm checks before rotating the seats into the reclined position for launch. Love these videos of them up in the white room there. You can see those signatures on the wall behind them, hugging the closeout team before ingressing the capsule. Then from there, that is the same team that closes the hatch and seals everything in the preparation for launch. Right now, we are still waiting on those final weather checks coming up, but prop load has begun. So all of that brought us through the confirmations we've been listening to, the check-ins, confirming that the crew arm is stowed, and of course, as we were listening so intently for earlier today, that our launch escape system is armed. With that, we are just over 31 minutes away from today's liftoff.
Incredible. That white room is got a lot of history in it already.
And lots more to come, which is really exciting.
Yes, we are just adding another chapter to this storied location. That 39A has got so much history already.
So, of course, everything about today is really timelined down to the minute. As we were talking about earlier today, the crew wake up all the way through launch. We have this kind of precise choreography that is key to our launch site execution. Each of the calls we're hearing, the visual cues that we're seeing, and that we're acknowledging to you who are joining us from around the world, serve as critical synchronization.
One, cryo helium loading.
There's confirmation there that we're loading the cryo-helium on board stage one of Falcon 9. And each of these milestones are critical synchronization points for both the ground and crew teams. As they say, slow is smooth and smooth is fast. It's hard to believe that it's been 5 years since Dragon radically changed how humanity gets to space. After the space shuttle program ended in 2011, NASA astronauts primarily used the Russian Soyuz spacecraft for travel to the International Space Station. Until 2020, Dragon was the the Russian Soyuz spacecraft was the only human-capable launch vehicle available. Meanwhile, SpaceX's Dragon was being developed, and then in 2010, it became the first commercial spacecraft to be recovered from orbit. In fact, just for fun, because it's cool to know, the Dragon that flew on that first commercial mission is actually the one hanging behind us here in front of Mission Control in Hawthorne. Since then, Dragon has supported 17 human spaceflight missions and flown 66 crew members representing 17 countries. Overall, Dragon has flown 52 missions, carrying over 1,000 experiments and over 300,000 pounds of cargo to space.
And each of those missions represents a host of firsts that have helped shape this generation of spaceflight. To fully appreciate the progress being made together with SpaceX and NASA, it's worth noting that Axiom Space's three missions to date have helped provide greater access for nations and researchers, setting new precedents for private astronaut efforts aboard the International Space Station, and AX4 adds to that growing flight heritage.
After a successful liftoff and orbital insertion, the AX4 crew are set to rendezvous and dock with the International Space Station tomorrow. They'll spend approximately 14 days aboard the orbiting laboratory, bringing the occupancy count up to 11.
Over the last 10 months, this crew has been working with instructors to learn every system they will be working with on station. They have studied and practiced every experiment, reviewed and rehearsed every event, all to maximize that time in space. Collectively, this crew is undertaking the largest quantity of research efforts of any Axiom space mission to date, with over 60 research activities on their timeline, representing 31 different countries. Missions like these continue to expand what is possible and set the stage for even greater opportunities to come.
Then, at the conclusion of their time on station, the crew will participate in a closing farewell ceremony and begin their preparations for the journey back to Earth. As we've mentioned a couple of times, that'll be about 14 days from today.
Each mission to the International Space Station is rooted in singular, unifying purpose, to explore and learn together as a team. And that is one of the things that I absolutely love about human spaceflight. The International Space Station is a symbol of what can be realized from international cooperation and collaboration. And so while this particular mission may represent the goals of four specific nations, today they are launching as one crew, one team. And in that spirit, this crew created a mark to represent their shared effort together. The AX4 mission patch is something that Peggy, Shooks, Swabosh, and Tibor will wear proudly for the rest of their lives. But so will thousands of people who've worked tirelessly to contribute to this mission.
The mission patch for Axiom 4 was created, as you mentioned, by the crew, not just to mark their space flight, but to symbolize the idea that space is for everyone. Anchored by the centrality of the Earth and flanked by a diverse set of national flags, there are several intended meanings woven into this design. For instance, the seven stars represent the seven continents and point to global inclusivity.
The four white lines ascending from the Earth to the International Space Station symbolize the physical journey of this mission and together appear to make panes of a spacecraft window, much like the view the astronauts will have from Earth orbit. And the overall gem shape of the patch is a reminder of the precious responsibility we all have to our planet, to cherish and to protect our homeworld. And in addition to the mission patch, another favorite tradition of human spaceflight is the zero-G indicator. To celebrate their unique bond, the AX4 crew chose a baby swan as the zero-G indicator, which they've named Joy. And today, we have the opportunity to have our very own Joy joining us to help us keep an eye on the gravity levels here in Hawthorne. So far, pretty stable.
Yeah, all systems nominal, I would say.
Very, very nominal. Yes.
So as we await our T-minus zero in a little bit more than 25 minutes, our ground operations teams are doing a final series of systems checks to make sure both Dragon and Falcon 9 are ready for launch. Let's take a look at what the ascent portion of our mission today will look like.
Start of stage 2, cryo-helium loading.
brief announcement on stage two loading. Once we hit T0, we're going to watch Falcon 9 and Dragon lift off from historic Launchpad 39A and make their ass up. About 43 seconds into flight, Falcon 9's engines will throttle down to help pass through the period of maximum dynamic pressure on the rocket, or what we typically refer to as max Q. Now, it's worth noting that shortly after we hit max Q, the vehicle will go supersonic, faster than the speed of sound.
Once we're through that period of maximum dynamic pressure, we throttle up our Merlin engines again. From there, at about 2.5 minutes into flight, we have a series of three events that happen in rapid succession. The first is main engine cutoff, also called MECO. This is where all 9 Merlin engines shut off in preparation for stage separation. Stage step is when the first stage detaches from the second stage, with the first stage making its way back to Earth for landing as the second stage continues on its journey with the third event.
Now, SES-1, or second stage engine start number 1, that's where the Merlin vacuum engine lights up and propels the second stage along with our AX4 crew and Dragon into orbit. Now, as stage 2 heads into the targeted drop-off orbit, stage 1 will execute 3 burns in order to make its way back to Earth. The first is the boost back burn, where 3 of the Merlin 1D engines reignite and then shut down. That heads the first stage back to Cape Canaveral.
The second burn, or the entry burn, helps to slow the first stage down in preparation for entry back into the Earth's atmosphere. About 70 seconds before Dragon reaches orbit, Falcon 9 will land back on Earth. The landing burn will bring the vehicle's speed down rapidly in order to land back on land near the launch site, shortly before 8 minutes into our mission.
And then a little less than a minute after that, at T plus 8 minutes, 48 seconds, the second stage will cut off its 1 Merlin engine that was ignited right after stage separation. That concludes a burn that lasts just over 6 minutes to get in orbit, but we'll wait to hear confirmation of insertion into a good orbit. Then Dragon and the second stage begin preparations to separate Dragon. About 51 seconds after we get into orbit, we should have a great view of Dragon with the 4-person crew drifting away in Dragon, moving away from the second stage. Once Dragon's a short distance away, it'll begin checkout of the Draco maneuvering thrusters. That'll make sure Dragon continues to increase separation distance from the second stage.
The nose cone deploy sequence will initiate just before T plus 12 minutes and finish around T plus 15 minutes, exposing Dragon's docking mechanism in advance of arrival at the International Space Station. Speaking of which, we should hand it back now to Sandra Jones at NASA's Mission Control Center in Houston, Texas, for a quick update. Sandra?
Thanks, Ronnie. The Space Station team here in Houston is focused on the critical systems of the International Space Station, all continuing to function as expected ahead of launch. Everything is looking good on Houston Go for launch. For now, we'll send it back over to Sonia at Kennedy.
Thanks, Sandra. To dive into some of the science highlights, I'm joined now by Axiom Space's chief scientist, Dr. Lucy Lowe. Lucy, thanks for joining me here at the desk. With so many science portfolios that are going to be accomplished, there are more than 60 from more than 30 countries. We can't cover it all. Give us a high-level look of what this portfolio looks like.
Yeah, so happy to, Sonia. So this mission is chock-a-block, jam-packed full of really interesting and exciting science. We have everything from human research, understanding how the human body reacts to space. We have some really fun life sciences experiments looking at growing plants and all kinds. We have some physical sciences. We have lots of technology demonstrations. And my favorite, lots of science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics outreach events.
All the STEAM things.
Exactly.
So we've had great success with AX1, 2, 3. Do we have any return payload flyers for AX4?
We do. We have our partners at the University of California, San Diego, the Stanford Stem Cell Institute, flying their cancer cells in low Earth orbit for the 4th time with Axiom. So this team is actually looking at how the cancer cells respond to space. And on this mission, they're actually testing a newly approved drug that's just about to enter clinical trials. So really exciting.
So let's take just a brief look at each of the country's portfolios. Let's start at the head.
At the top. Okay, off we go. So we're going to bring on our willing participant. Our lovely assistant who is going to model one of the experiments from this portfolio. So Israel here is wearing a functional near-infrared spectroscopy cap, which has optodes in the top, which can actually look at how blood is moving around, which is a correlate for neural activity. So it's a way to actually monitor brain activity in space. And what the team is doing is looking at these signals and how they're going to collect the data. And they're actually creating what they're calling a brain computer after neurological disorders. In which country's portfolio is this from?
This is from ESA and the Polish Space Agency.
Amazing. So what is ISRO doing? What's their portfolio?
So ISRO has a very, very busy portfolio. So Shooks is going to be doing lots and lots of research throughout the mission. So their team is going to be looking at cyanobacteria and microalgae, and they're going to be looking at how these could be used for food or for fuel or for potentially even life support systems on orbit in future. The team is also looking at muscle cells. They're seeing how muscle cells respond to access to microgravity. So when the human goes into space and there are changes, physiological changes that happen very quickly that can impact the muscle cells. And so the team is going to be looking at some of these changes to muscle cells in space and then applying that understanding not only to developing countermeasures for future...
Dragon copies, and we are thrilled.
Likewise.
Sonia, thank you so much. What great commentary from Lucy and all of those portfolios coming together. We're excited to see this team its work on station. And as we know, spaceflight has a rich history of traditions. We've spoken of about a few, from the zero-G indicator to others. We started this next tradition for AX2, and we're excited to continue that today. It's a special thing to be named as a commander to anything, but being the commander of a four-person crew that has completed months of training and is about to defy gravity and set sail for the International Space Station, it's truly out of this world. Peggy has some thoughts she wanted to share here in this moment, just a few short minutes from launch. Here's Peggy.
Awesome words from our commander there. And of course, with that, we are just under T-minus 11 minutes until our liftoff at 2:31 a.m. Eastern today from Launch Complex 39A at Kennedy Space Center. Just in case you are just joining us, right now on your screen, you have a live view of Falcon 9 with our AX4 crew safely tucked in the Dragon space capsule atop the vehicle. At this point, we are coming up on terminal count. Our crew access arm has been moved out of the way, and our launch escape system is armed. And we are standing by for that final process by which we step into our terminal count, get ready Dragon and Falcon for liftoff.
Dragon SpaceX, confirm current displays are configured for launch.
The displays are configured for launch, and the Axiom 4 crew would like to thank the incredible teams that have made this moment possible. To the Axiom Space Team, you've poured your hearts into this mission. Your passion and dedication have lifted us higher. We wear this patch with pride because of you. To NASA, thank you for the decades of knowledge, the training, and the trust. You've shaped generations of explorers, and we're honored to carry that legacy forward. To SpaceX, thank you for giving us the wings to fly and the confidence for a safe return home. And to our international partners, thank you for standing with us across borders, united by shared purpose. And to every person behind the scenes, engineers, trainers, families, and friends, you are the quiet force behind this mission. We carry the hopes of many with us. As we realize this return, we will bring those hopes home to you. Thank you.
Peggy Shooks, Suave Tibor, from all of us that are staying here on the ground, we look forward to your mission. All the hard work from our teams culminates here, so good luck, enjoy the ride, and science the heck out of all your experiments.
Wilco.
And a Wilco from Peggy Whitson. We're coming up on the T-minus 8-minute mark. Next major event that will be occurring on the Falcon 9 is the engine chill event. That happens at T-minus 7 minutes. We open the pre-valves, feeding both the RP-1 kerosene fuel as well as the liquid oxygen. Now go to the Merlin-1D engines. The liquid oxygen, we actually open a valve and we allow some of it to bleed off overboard out into the warm Florida air here in the early morning. And that will begin chilling in the turbo pumps on those 9 Merlin engines to get ready for when we ignite the engine starting at T-minus 2 seconds. Also interesting to note, just several minutes ago, as we talked about early in the webcast, the International Space Station flew over Kennedy Space Center. And so that means the orbit planes are lined up. We're ready to go in just 7.5 minutes from now. Now, while we're getting ready to open the pre-valve, which is one of those what we might call significant events in the life of the Falcon 9 as we count down, we'll also be chilling in the upper stage engine. We'll give that call out also in flight when we do some additional chill in at about a minute and 52 seconds.
Engine chill has started.
There's that engine chill announcement from Mission Control right on schedule. So now we just got about 50 seconds left as we continue to load RP-1 onto the first stage. Falcon 9 is powered by liquid oxygen and RP-1, which stands for Rocket Propellant 1, which is a highly refined type of kerosene. By the time we reach liftoff, Falcon 9 will have approximately 1 million pounds of fuel on board and will be burning 700 gallons of fuel per second at liftoff.
Stage 1, RP-1 load complete.
There's confirmation there from Mission Control that we have RP-1 load complete, and you're seeing great reactions from the AX4 crew there on the right-hand side of your screen with each one of these call-outs. You can tell that they are just as excited as we are to get them on their way to space.
A lot of time rehearsing, and now we're down to the last 6 minutes. We're also seeing some of the moist air as it condenses around the cold tanks. You can see that just at the top, Dragon, above the second stage. Next major event coming up, Dragon is going to configure for terminal count, and they'll move on to internal power. Those are the batteries. We do have solar arrays, and you can see them right now as some of the mist clears. You can see the black portions of Dragon. So we've got solar arrays on part of the Dragon trunk, and then we also have batteries inboard. Now, we have completed loading fuel on both the first and second stage. We're still loading liquid oxygen onto both stages. That'll wrap up at the T-minus 3-minute mark and the T-minus 2-minute mark. But right now, we're waiting to hear the final updates to the crew.
Falcon 9 propellant tanks are pressurizing for strong bag retracts.
That's good news for Mission Control.
Trigger the terminal count.
There we heard that we are pressurizing Falcon 9 for strong back retraction. The strong back is the tall structure standing right to the left of the rocket right now. And we pressurized Falcon 9 so that we can begin to retract that support structure away from the vehicle ahead of liftoff. Great view there of Dragon sitting on top of Falcon 9. And we'll look for those clamp arms around the base of Dragon just beneath those solar panels John was just talking about to begin opening up so the strong back can pull away. The strong back is used both to move Falcon 9 out to the launch pad ahead of liftoff and to provide all of the fuel and comm umbilicals that we're using in the lead up to launch. There are those clamp arms opening up. And then we'll see the strong back pull just about 2 degrees away from Falcon 9 in the final lead-up to launch. Then at liftoff, it'll move to a full 45 degrees away from the rocket. Great live shots there of the capsule on board the rocket here.
Yeah, Ronnie, it takes about 20 seconds for the hydraulics to open up those clamp arms that held onto the second stage. At about 30 seconds, it's hard to see, but that strong back will move just a couple degrees away.
And with that, we are just about 30 seconds away from the expected call-out that LOX load has been completed on board our first stage. As we mentioned earlier, that mist forming around the outside of Falcon 9 is totally normal. That's just some of that.
LOX load complete.
Some of that liquid oxygen that has now been fully loaded on board to stage 1, venting out into the warm Florida air and condensing into clouds.
So we continue to check off events here in the last minutes of the countdown.
Dragon is in terminal count and is on its terminal power.
And the confirmation a minute ago, we started the move into transition. And there on the left side of the screen and the right, you can see some of the watch parties, Paul.
Yeah, absolutely. On our left side of the screen, you can see the school in India. And then the right side of the screen is the planetarium in Poland with students and fans of this crew cheering on what's about to be a momentous moment.
I couldn't have planned it here. I'm keeping it dark in there for him. Okay, we're waiting to hear the confirmation that second stage LOX load is complete. That should be coming up momentarily.
Stage 2, LOX load complete.
There's that confirmation for mission control right on schedule. So the next major visual milestone we're likely to have from the outside of the spacecraft is going to be venting. Confirmation there from mission control that we are in auto idle on board Dragon in that final minute and a half before launch. Now we are expecting gas closeouts to be followed by some loud venting, and we're likely to see a larger cloud of liquid oxygen. There's instructions to the crew also right on schedule. And a great nighttime shot of Dragon sitting there at Historic Launch Complex 39A with the AX-4 crew safely tucked inside with just over a minute to go until liftoff.
Seated left to right inside Dragon from this camera's perspective, you have Tibor Kapu there on the left-hand side, and beside him is our pilot, Shubhanshu Shukla, and to the other side.
Falcon 9 is at startup and is now controlling.
It's Commander Peggy Whitson, and then far on the far side is Slavo Shuznevsky, Vishnevsky of ESA.
Dragon SpaceX, go for launch.
AX-4 is go for launch.
That is great news for mission control and from our crew on board Dragon. With that, we are just at T-minus 30 seconds to lift off of AX-4.
Let's go AX-4.
T-plus 30 seconds in the flight with the Axiom 4 crew on board Dragon headed to the International Space Station. Waiting to hear call-outs from the Falcon 9 engineering team.
Power and telemetry nominal. Stage 1 throttle.
We're throttling down the 9 Merlin engines. We're into the throttle bucket, preparing for Max-Q.
Max-Q. Vehicle is supersonic.
We should begin throttling the Merlin engines back up now.
Stage 1 throttle up.
Mission control confirming.
Stage 1 Bravo.
That throttle up, and we are.
Stage 1 Bravo.
Hearing our Commander Peggy Whitson call out the first abort mode. Each of these are a specific phase where, if for any reason we had an in-flight abort, Dragon would abort to a safe location. So we're going to call out each of those milestones as we pass through them. We also just heard the call out for MVAC chill. We're going to trickle just a little bit of liquid oxygen now into the turbo pumps onboard our Merlin vacuum engine on stage 2 in preparation for second engine start 1, which will, of course, be shortly after stage separation. Now, at this point, we are just about 30 seconds away from 4 events that are going to happen in rapid succession. The first one will be main engine cutoff, or MECO, then again followed by stage separation, ignition of that second stage engine, which we are already preparing for, as well as the first stage's boost back burn. With that confirmation from mission control that we are throttling the first stage engines down, we are expecting MECO at T plus 2 minutes and 26 seconds. Here we have confirmation of all 4 of those events. Incredible views on our screen here too, as that boost back, that first stage boost is way back to Earth.
Stage 2 Alpha.
And confirmation from our commander that we have entered the 2 Alpha abort mode. Of course, we're getting lots of cheers from behind us here at Mission Control here in Hawthorne, California as well. And at this point, our AX-4 crew is on their way to space. The view you have on your screen right now is our MVAC engine burning for that second engine first burn. We're expecting that SECO here, second engine cutoff, which will likely be called out over the net as SECO in just a couple of minutes.
Stage 1 boost back shutdown.
Confirmation that the boost back burn on our first stage booster is now complete, and the booster is heading back toward the Florida coast to attempt a landing at LZ-1. At this point, Stage 1 is actually still coasting to apogee. We're about to deploy those grid fins so that we can steer the vehicle as it enters the Earth's atmosphere.
SpaceX, nominal trajectory.
And that call out from Mission Control means that
nominal trajectory.
Everything is right on track.
T+4 minutes, everything continuing to go well, and we've got our first view of the crew. They're inside Dragon, second stage continuing to fire. Right now, second stage, just a little bit more than 1G. There's so much propellant that even with a 220,000-pound thrust engine, it takes a while before the G-loads start to build up during the second stage flight. Meanwhile, first stage continuing to coast up to apogee, and actually now, as you can see on the bottom left of your monitors, we have begun coming back down. It takes a couple of minutes to go up, a couple of minutes to come back down. That first stage heading back to landing zone 1 at Cape Canaveral. All
right. Dragon, SpaceX, nominal trajectory.
Words we love to hear.
Dragon copy, nominal trajectory.
Peggy Whitson echoing back the call up from the ground. Our next major event coming up will be in about a minute and 10 seconds. That's going to be the entry burn. That's where we're going to light a single center engine on the first stage. That's going to slow us down in preparation for entering the Earth's atmosphere again. We'll then have a landing burn about a minute later at T+7 minutes and 19 seconds. Now for that one, we actually light three engines again. Then quickly we'll, once we kind of jam the brakes on, then we'll turn off two of the engines. We'll be down to just a single engine. Getting good views of the MVAC-D engine. There are a couple of cameras on the back of the second stage that give these views. Of course, the view inside the Dragon spacecraft showing the crew.
Dragon, SpaceX, nominal trajectory.
Continuing the call-outs right on time.
Dragon copies, nominal trajectory.
Now, right now, as Ronnie pointed out, the grid fins have been deployed, but they're not being used. Right before the entry burn, we'll possibly see a little bit of motion if we can pick up the first stage camera. That's just a check out. It's not until we actually get through the entry burn that we get back in the atmosphere. And now here is entry burn call out. This is going to be about a 12-second burn. That's going to slow the vehicle down. You can watch that.
There you just saw on the left-hand side of your screen that first stage entry burn shutdown. Right now on your screen, we've got great views of our second stage engine, the Merlin vacuum engine, continuing to take our AX-4 crew to orbit. The next milestone for our first stage is going to be the landing burn, where we'll relight just the center engine, as John mentioned.
Dragon, SpaceX, nominal trajectory.
Again, things we love to hear.
Stage 1,
Dragon, copy, nominal trajectory.
Continuing to get good communication from our crew on board Dragon.
Stage 1, transonic.
Confirmation that Stage 1 is now transonic on its way back to LZ1, which is just about 9 miles away from our liftoff location today. LZ1, of course, is the site of the first successful landing attempt, and hopefully it will be the second time that this particular booster sticks its landing. Seeing those actuating of the grid fins that John mentioned.
Stage 1 landing light deployed. Stage 2, FTSS safe. Stage 1 landing confirmed.
That was a picture-perfect landing. That was great. So coming up next for our crew, now that we've confirmed that booster touchdown, is going to be second engine cutoff, also called out as SECO. Then the second stage will coast for a few minutes until Dragon is commanded to separate from the second stage. Here's our AX-4 crew awaiting that SECO call out here.
Stage 2 is the terminal guidance.
Good continued burn from our second stage engine there. Now at this point, our crew is experiencing about 3 Gs in the lead up to SECO 1, which of course will be their first taste of microgravity.
Dragon, Shannon.
Here's confirmation of the Shannon abort mode.
MVAC shutdown.
Nominal original insertion of SpaceX, and we had an incredible ride uphill, and now we'd like to set our course for the International Space Station aboard the newest member of the Dragon fleet, our spacecraft named Grace. Grace is more than a name. It reflects the elegance with which we move through space against the backdrop of Earth. It speaks to the refinement of our mission, the harmony of science and spirit, and the unmerited favor we carry with humility. Grace reminds us that spaceflight is not just a feat of engineering, but an act of goodwill.
Thanks so much, Sandra. Over the next
28 and a half hours, the Dragon spacecraft Grace will execute a series of burns to gradually raise and line up the AX-4 crew for docking with the International Space Station in what we refer to as the activation and rendezvous phase of flight. In just a few minutes, the crew will change out of their spacesuits to get a little bit more comfortable for flight and will enjoy their first meal aboard the spacecraft. Over the course of their flight, they will also have a rest period that will last for about 8 hours. Before they arrive at the space station, we will have three potential opportunities to chat briefly with the crew on orbit. While we're hopeful that one of these will work out, none of them are guaranteed as they're dependent both on crew schedule and ground station coverage. But if we are able to support, we'll make an announcement on our social media channels no later than 15 minutes before the event start time. In the meantime, be sure to keep tabs on this mission at axiomspace.com, and you can track Dragon's flight on spacex.com/launches.
And even if we aren't able to talk live with the crew, we will continue to provide updates on the mission across our social media channels. And then as Dragon and the AX-4 crew approach the International Space Station tomorrow, June 26th, we will pick back up with our live joint coverage of the AX-4 crew's docking to the station with NASA. Please keep an eye on Axiom Space and SpaceX social channels for updates, as there will be plenty of incredible moments to share with you over the next 2 weeks. From all of us at Axiom Space, thank you, SpaceX. Thank you, NASA, for making today possible. Thank you to ISRO and ESA and HUNOR for pursuing this endeavor with us. What started with joy now continues on with grace. We will see you very soon.
Alpha is Station on 24 OCD 27.
With you on TikTok, go ahead.
It has, I have worked all of them. It's just seat 17, so you guys can start there.
Can we copy? Thanks for the heads up.
After the station on 2, I'm ready for Taika ultrasound.
With you on 2, talk. Space Ground 4 is privatized for you, and your remote guider is David and Matthew, along with PD Liz, are ready when you are.
Okay, Liz, Space Ground 4. Houston Station on 2, I'm ready for seeing on a voice check.
Copy, Talk. We're routing the video feed right now. And Talk, back with you about the scene. Can we get you to tilt the camera down just a little bit? We're seeing too much of the ceiling. And after this handover, we'll get a 10 count from you. All right, Talk, back with you. Looks like you may have overcorrected just a little bit. We'd like the camera tilted up just enough to see the flags, but not the overhead. All right, Talk, we're happy with the video. Can we get that 10 count from you? Checking. Awesome, Talk. We have good scene and voice. And one note for style, at the end of the event, we would like you to fly out through the overhead. Thank you. I'll give you a two-minute warning before we start. Station Houston on Space Ground 2 for Talk and PAO event.
Station Munich on Space Ground 2 for Johnny and Lumina at your convenience.
Thanks, Johnny. I'll see you. Go ahead.
Johnny, with the PAO starting up soon on Station Ground 2, Space Ground 4 privatized, and Space Ground 3 busy, we just want to let you know that for your next Lumina activity, that you will be go to start per timeline.
Copy, all thanks.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for a Talk and PAO event. This is your two-minute warning and a correction to the procedure. Your execute note says that there is a video uplink, but there will not be one today. Station, this is Houston. Are you ready for the event?
Houston, this is Station. I'm ready for the event.
JAXA PAO, this is Mission Control, Houston. Please call station for a voice check.
Station, this is JAXA PAO. How do you hear me?
JAXA PAO, this is Houston. I have you loud and clear.
Please wait until MC Ms. Asahara will call you to start the event.
それではいよいよですね、更新イベントを始めてまいりたいと思います。もうお兄さん宇宙でスタンバイしていただいておりますので、先ほどの通り大きな声で呼びかけていきたいと思います。いきますよ。
さん、こんにちは。JAXA 宇宙飛行士の大西拓也と言います。今日は感動宇宙航空教室に参加してくれてどうもありがとうございます。私も今日皆さんとお話しできるのをとても楽しみにしてきました。さっき私の元の会社の後輩の方々が私の打ち上げの時のビデオを見せてくれたと思うんですけれども、パイロット訓練生の皆さん、訓練で忙しい中本当にありがとうございました。私も彼らと同じようにもともとは飛行機のパイロットをしていて、今こうして宇宙飛行士として国際宇宙ステーションというところに滞在しています。国際宇宙ステーションは地上からだいたい 400km 上空を飛行している施設になります。私は今その中の日本が持っている研究室の希望というところにいます。今日は飛行機の話を皆さんここまでいろいろ聞いてきたと思うんですが、これから先は私から宇宙飛行士がどんなことをここでしているのかとか、宇宙ってどんなところなのかっていうのを皆さんにお話しできればと思ってます。それでは早速講義を始めていきたいと思います。まず宇宙ってどんなところかっていうのを皆さんにご紹介したいんですけれども、例えば地上でですね、僕今こうやってマイクを持ってますけど、このマイクを持ってる手を離したらどうなりますかね。地上だとこう重力に引かれてストーンと下に落ちてしまいますよね。でも宇宙だとこんな風に手を離してもマイクは全然落ちずにずっとプカプカ浮いてます。これはこの国際宇宙ステーションの中はほとんど重力がない世界になっているんですね。なのでマイクだけではなくていろんなものもプカプカ浮いてしまいます。例えばここに今地球の風船がありますけど、これも、
はい、大西さんありがとうございました。会場の皆さんも目をキラキラさせて聞き入っていらっしゃいました。それでは、大西さんの質問コーナーに移ってまいりたいと思います。今回は参加者の皆さんから多くの質問をいただいておりますが、6名の方にご質問していただきたいと思います。では奥谷月穂さんからお願いします。
奥谷月穂です。私の将来の夢は大西宇宙飛行士みたいになる宇宙飛行士です。大西宇宙飛行士の子供の頃の将来の夢は何でしたか。また何がきっかけで宇宙飛行士になろうと思ったのですか。
はい、奥谷月夫さん、質問どうもありがとうございます。ぜひ、将来ですね、宇宙飛行士目指してほしいですね。一緒に仕事できるのを楽しみにしてます。僕は小さい頃は最初は科学者になろうと思ってました。もともと小さい時から宇宙がとっても好きなので、宇宙に行きたいとは思ってたんですけれども、なかなか宇宙飛行士っていう仕事はあんまり意識してなくて、その宇宙について勉強がしたいなと思ってたので、そういう研究者を目指してました。でも大学生になった時にアポロ13号っていう宇宙船のミッションがあったんですけど、その宇宙船の話を描いた映画を見たことがきっかけで、宇宙飛行士ってかっこいいなと思って宇宙飛行士を目指したのが、その僕のきっかけになります。で、運よくその宇宙飛行士の選抜試験という試験があるんですけれども、それに合格することができて、今こうして宇宙飛行士として働くことができてます。ぜひ将来一緒に働きましょう。質問ありがとうございます。
奥谷ハンナです。宇宙の生活で一番大変なことは何ですか。 ISS では服や下着はどのように洗濯をしているのですか。
はい、奥谷ハンナさん、質問どうもありがとうございます。一番大変なことはですね、地上みたいに水がジャバジャバ使えないことですね。例えばお風呂に入ったりとかシャワーに浴びたりっていうのができないので、なかなか体をきれいにすることが大変です。 で、なんで水をジャバジャバ使えないかっていうと理由が2つあって、1つは水がとっても貴重なものだからですね、地上から水をどんどん持ってくることもなかなか難しいので、僕たちどうしてるかっていうと、水をですねどんどんリサイクルして、使い回してます。例えば、僕が飲んだ水だったりジュースっていうのはいずれおしっこになって体の外に出ていきますよね。そのおしっこをまたきれいにして、飲み水に戻すっていうことをこの宇宙ステーションではやってます。あとは、水っていうのはさっき見てもらったようにプカプカ浮いてしまうので、ほっとくといろんなところに散らばってしまうんですよね。なのでとっても危険なので、水をこうジャバジャバと使うことができなくなってます。そこがすごく、宇宙ステーションでの暮らしの不便、まあ、あとはそれから大変なところですね。でさっき質問してもらったけれども、洗濯はできますかっていうことについては、その同じ理由でできません。なので僕たち宇宙飛行士は同じ服を、何日も何日も着て、まあ、当然あの汗をかいたり、あといろんな汚れてくるんだけど、汚れてしまったらもう新しいものと交換して、古いものは捨てるっていう、そういうことをやってます。なのでいつか宇宙でも洗濯ができるといいなって思います。どうもありがとうございます。
こんにちは、桜田海人です。僕は学校でオクラを育てています。 ISS で植物を育てるとどうなりますか？水浴びをしているところも見たいです。
はい、桜田海人さんありがとうございます。植物はですね、今この宇宙ステーションの中ではそういう研究はやってないんですけど、少し前
僕の日向です。私は火星にも住めるような研究をしたいと思っています。大西さんは長期滞在で何をしているんですか？自由時間ではみんなで集まって音楽や映画を楽しむと聞きました。私はチームのみんなでミュージカルを楽しみたいと思っています。
はい、吹野ひなたさんどうもありがとうございます。僕はこの国際宇宙ステーションの中では普段はいろんな実験をしたりとか、宇宙ステーションの中を掃除したりとか、壊れた機械を直したりっていう仕事をしています。あと自由時間は例えば日曜日は1日お休みなんですけど、さっきひなたちゃんが言ってくれたようにみんなで映画を見たりとか、音楽を聴いたり、あとは友達とメールしたりして過ごすことが多いです。僕も実はミュージカルとっても好きなので、ミュージカルを宇宙で見てみたいですけどね。ひなたちゃんもぜひ将来宇宙に来て、ミュージカルを見るっていう夢を叶えてください。応援してます。ありがとうございます。
こんにちは、梅田奈緒です。僕の将来の夢は宇宙飛行士になって宇宙から地球を見ることです。大西宇宙飛行士は ISS のリーダーですが、リーダーでの仕事は何ですか？リーダーで一番頑張らなきゃいけないことは何ですか？
はい、米澤奈緒さんどうもありがとうございます。ぜひ将来、宇宙飛行士目指して頑張ってください。僕は今、国際宇宙ステーションで、船長っていうリーダー役をしてますけれども、一番大事な仕事っていうのは他のみんなの、安全を守るっていうことですね。例えば宇宙ステーションの中で火事が起きましたっていう時とか、宇宙ステーションの中の例えば空気がどんどん外に漏れていってますみたいな、一刻も争う危険な事態になった時に、みんなの安全を守って、地球に例えば安全に帰るとか、あとは火が 火事が起きてるんだったらその火事を消したりみたいな、そういったのを自分僕がみんなをこうまとめて、対処していく、行動していくっていうのが一番大事な船長の仕事になります。大変ですけど、すごくやりがいがある仕事なので今楽しく過ごしてます。質問ありがとうございます。
田口俊也です。大西さんこんにちは。8歳の僕は ANA のパイロットになりたくて、11歳のお兄ちゃんは宇宙飛行士になりたいです。2人で勉強やスポーツを頑張っていますが、 ANA のパイロットと宇宙飛行士に共通する大切なことは何ですか？
はい、田口俊也さん、どうもありがとうございます。僕は昔パイロットで今は宇宙飛行士なので、ぜひ2人が、兄弟揃って夢を叶えてくれることを応援してます。ですね、2つの仕事に、共通してるなと思うことは、どっちの仕事もすごくこう緊張する場面ってあるんだけど、みんなも多分普段学校の生活の中で緊張することってありますよね。その時になんかこういつも通りできなかったりとか、こういつもみたいにこう例えば何かの発表会だったらいつもみたいにうまくできないことってあると思うんだけど、そういう場面でちゃんとなるべく普段通りできるかどうかっていうのがとても大事な仕事かなって思ってます。で、僕も最初からそんなことができたわけじゃなくて、たくさんそういう緊張する場面っていうのを経験することでなんとなくそういうことに慣れてきたように思うので、みんなもね、ただ例えば勉強だったりスポーツやっててもいろいろ緊張する場面ってあるよね。テストだったりスポーツだったら何かの大会出たりみたいな、そういう、緊張する経験っていうのをなるべくたくさんこの先も積むといいんじゃないかなって思います。ぜひ頑張ってください。質問ありがとうございます。
はい、大西さんありがとうございました。今日は200名近い方が会場にいらっしゃっていますので、最後に大西宇宙飛行士との記念撮影をさせていただきたいと思います。皆様、会場の後方をご覧いただけますでしょうか？はい、では手を振ってるお姉さんのところ見ていただいてよろしいですか？はい。それではいきますよ。はい、ポーズ。はい、ありがとうございます。では最後に大西さんから一言お願いいたします。
はい、皆さん今日は短い時間でしたけどどうもありがとうございました。今日の僕のお話をきっかけに少しでも宇宙について興味を持ってくれる人が出てきたら僕もとっても嬉しいです。そして将来ぜひ宇宙飛行士を目指してもらえるととっても嬉しいです。この後は僕の ANA 時代の友達である上原さんと、あとは JAXA で今一緒に仕事をしている関川さんの楽しいトークセッションも待っていると聞いてます。ぜひこれから先のプログラムも楽しんでください。今日は本当にどうもありがとうございました。
大西さん、今日は宇宙からたくさんのことを教えてくださりありがとうございました。遠く離れた宇宙と地上が今日この教室でつながったことに私たちも感動しています。どうかこれからのミッションも安全に元気に頑張ってください。みんなで応援しております。それではさようなら。
Station, this is Houston ACR. That concludes the event. Thank you.
Thank you to all participants. Station, we are now resuming operational audio communications.
Munich, Houston, Johnny on Switchman
2. Hey, Johnny, Munich is Switchman 2.
Hey, Alex. Just letting you know that the Illumina activity is complete with the correct parameters, and I was able to transfer 32 files.
Copy all. Good news, and thanks for your help.
Still station on 2 for the ESA power banks.
Good in Munich.
Hey, Munich. I was just noticing that the power bank activity is hard scheduled, but it's in the same place that Johnny and Talk are working their medical procedures. So just wanted to make sure it was okay that I do that after they're complete.
No issue from our side.
Okay, I'll put that in work as soon as they're done.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Ann and Brian Filter.
Hold on, too.
Hey, Ann, I got three things for you, actually. First, the brine filter that you found yesterday in the PMM, we concur with your action to move it to the Node 3 end cone to be with the others, so thank you for taking care of that.
Copy, I'll leave it there.
Second of three items, we noticed in the lab camera there seemed to be some small 2 to 3 inch long pink cylinder floating lab forward. We're wondering if you could catch that for us.
And at the lab forward ATU looking for flying pink cylinders. I don't see anything offhand, but I'll keep an eye for it.
Thank you. And last thing, the aft ATU in the gym, earlier we think we may have had some issue with it. Would you mind giving us a comm check from there?
Sure thing. Stay well and station on cue from the gym aft ATU.
We read you loud and clear. Thank you.
Same, no problem.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for any available crew and PMA 3.
Yeah, I can take it.
Thanks, Doc. We're going to be equalizing with the PMA 3 soon by opening the IMV valve for a moment. We don't expect a major pressure differential, but if you hear a noise in a couple minutes, that's what it is.
Bobby, thanks for heads up.
Thank you for finding that.
Sure thing. My next question will be to help identify it. It's a pink connector cap of some sort. But I will ask around. It looks like the kind that are on the electrical connectors right here. So fun fact, the IMV intake on Lab 01 is probably one of the strongest air sections in station. So most of anything you lose in the lab always ends up there. The other two are the airlock intake and the beam intake. Those three places are like space station lost and found.
Good to know. Thank you again.
Houston station on two for Cameron. For the 1300 activity, the lab cam is pointing at lab deck 4.
Okay, we see it and we like the view. Thank you.
Can you go okay with me starting the N2 vent cap this time?
Yep, we are ready. Go ahead.
I know you guys are in the middle of handover. Sorry if I am interrupting. Hopefully be completed, but the vent cap spring just pulls the cap right back down, but it would be pretty easy to rig it to be held open, like with a zip tie. But as it is, it stays open. One of the things that might also be helpful, I don't know if we have extras, is on things like the emergency O2 ports and on the PDAs, there's a little clip that makes sure that the quick release mechanism is not actuated by accident. That type of clip would be perfect to pull the cap out, put the clip on, and leave the cap open. But if we don't have any extras of those, zip ties I think would work also.
All right, we like the ideas. Give us a few minutes to talk about it and figure out what solution we want.
Copy. And then a clarifying question. In 1.5, it says to photo document the cap. The cap looks exactly like figure 2, and I was wondering if there was anything in particular you want me to get photos of. I could get a video of the cap retracting back down, if that's helpful.
Now, from your description, it sounds like there's no change. So, no, we don't actually need video or photo of that right now.
Okay, yep, and that's a good read. It goes right back to its original configuration when let go, so it's no change.
Station Houston, Space to Ground 2 for Ann and the cap adjustment.
Right on, too.
All right, we like your idea of the zip tie, so you are go to use the zip tie on that. Please photo document once you're done.
Copy, and the intent is to have that fully openizing or fully retracted.
Yes, you are correct.
Copy, work.
Station Houston, Space to Ground 2 for Ann.
Ground 2.
Yeah, looks like you're done with the vent cap zip tie activity. So I just want to give you a heads up that we're going to be doing a vent here at around 1345. When we do that, this is a test event, when we do that, you're going to need hearing protection, and then at that time, we'll like your assessment of how loud the vent is. And Huntsville says they're good with you pausing your SIR activity during that short vent.
Great, that sounds good. One thing I'll be curious about is, with that fin retracted, the kind of the inner cylinder that seats into the, that actually seats into where it's connected, doesn't seat, right? So it's pulled back. So I guess what I'm saying is it's very loose fitting, so I'll be curious if the cap stays on when you vent, because there's no friction holding it on. It's kind of floating there with the lock pin loosely in the cap for the little indent where it connects to. You can see that in the pictures I threw them on SSC7. So it'll be interesting to see if it stays on. If it doesn't, then I think a piece of cap on tape would fix that.
Okay, good information. Thank you for the observation.
And before anybody starts worrying about eyeballs, if the cap goes flying, it is tethered, so it's not going to go anywhere if it does come off.
Okay, copy. Yep, you answered our next question on that. And so we're estimating the activity starts at 1345, so probably won't actually get the vent until around 1400. And we'll give you a heads up right before we do it.
Copy. Sounds good. Thanks.
Station in Huntsville, face to ground 2 for Ann and Sophie.
Right on 2.
Okay, and a few things for you as you get started here. We first off can give you your go in step 1.2. We've confirmed all conditions are met. For node 2 today, a couple things. CAM 2 is being used for thigh cuffs, so we're going to have you use node 2 CAM 1, being careful not to have the thigh cuff in view. And when you have it set up, let us know and we'll route it down here.
Copy, node 2 CAM 1, and copy on the restriction to not film the thigh cuff.
Good readback. Also, we know it's tight in Node 2 with two crew on MWA and having two enablements. We'll let you all self-manage as a crew, but if you need to step away during SIR, or step away from SIR during the side cuff off for OCT, you are go to do that. And finally, when we come back AOS, we have the other side of LOS. We'll have Sharon available on Space Ground 3 for you.
Space Ground 3 on the other side. Thank you much.
Station Houston, Space to Ground 2, just heads up for everybody, no PWD or XPWD for the next few minutes. You can see that in the crew band.
Houston Station, copy. Are you about to take it down? Was that a last call, or is it already coming down?
All right, consider this a last call.
Copy, I'll check with crew.
Houston Station, on 2, we are good with PWD and XPWD.
Copy. Houston, Space to Ground 2. We are one command away from commanding the vent in the lab, so anybody in the lab needs to don hearing protection.
And Houston Station, copy.
Huntsville Station, talk and join here with you on Space to Ground 2.
We are with you and ready to talk, scheduled and you're ready.
Yeah, we're ready.
Okay, so we are anticipating potential ready comm again for your next round of thigh cuff ops. So we want to start those ops early to try and avoid the TDRS 275 path. What we are going to propose, if you all are okay with it, is we have coordinated with Surgeon, and first is moving TOMC PMC to 1745. By doing this should allow us to start that next set of operations at 1540, so that would be, Johnny, right after you complete your Node 2 hatch open, and that would allow you all, but we can't have you step away for the Node 2 hatch close. How does that sound so far?
Oh, so we're talking, talk to no issues moving his PMC to 1740, and I copy after I open the Node 2 hatch, we will begin the next round. Did you catch that last part about closure? Is that something that you said I would step away for the Node 2 hatch?
That's correct, Johnny. Yeah, so you would just, when you get to the hatch close, you could just step away from assisting with the backup, close the hatch, and then return to those ops.
Yeah, copy all. That sounds good to both of us. Thanks for working the plan.
Thank you for the flexibility. This also then will allow TOC OCT and the doffing activities to move immediately after the ultrasound and TTM and DP measurements, so you can hopefully also then talk to Doc, the site cuff, a little earlier.
Doc expresses that he greatly appreciates that, so it sounds like this is a good plan for everyone. Thank you.
And thank you all for your flexibility.
Station Houston, Space Ground 2 for the WSS vent. So the vent is going, but it is very slow. It's going to take probably another half hour to finish the vent, which means we won't be able to get you back PWD or XPWD until then. If you guys want potable water back sooner, we have the option of removing the cap and zip tie that Ann installed earlier. So if you get to that point and want that, let us know and we'll help you out.
Okay. Thanks for the essay. We copy it all. We'll let you know.
Sounds good.
Control station on 2 for smokiness.
Put that 2 for smokiness.
If you could please pass it on to Sharon, we don't have 3, but I can give her step 21.3. Both of those switches are on. The rack power and EPCU power, and the rest of the procedure is safe, minus 2.
We copy.
Station Houston, Space Ground 2 for all USO's crew members. The potable bus is back, so you can use XPWD and PWD again.
Copy. Thank you.
Houston Station on 2 for WC.
Go for WC.
Hey, I'm in step 4.3, and I'm just want to double check. So the pre-treat indicator connector, Sherman figure 8, does not match what we have here on our WC. The piping connector looks the exact same as the piping, the new piping, and then also the figure. They're both labeled X1, so I'm confident I have the correct connection. I just want to make sure that that you guys are tracking that the figure doesn't quite match what we've got.
Okay, copy. Sounds like you are confident you have the correct X1 connector, so we are going to continue, but we would like a photo of the system the way it is. We kind of get an idea what it looks like.
Yeah, I've got a photo. I'll download after I'm done.
Station Houston, Space Ground 2 for Ann, at your convenience, and talk about your timeline.
What else do you forget?
Hey, Ann, so you saw this during your Soviet activity that we were having some dropouts of the video from that Node 2-1 camcorder. Since we're planning to use that for some of the upcoming PAO events in the next few days, we'd like to go ahead and replace its video cables. There is a task list item with details. It's Photo TV. Node 2-CAM cable swap, and we would like you to execute that sometime this afternoon. Once you're done with that, turn the camcorder on, let us know, and we'll do a checkout, and of course, recommend pointing it away from any tie-cuff activities if those are still ongoing when you're done. Any questions?
Okay, no questions. I will get into that when I'm done with the reskill for 50 minutes.
Sounds great.
Houston Station, Spacecraft 2 for Dragon Node 2 Task Open.
Johnny, we are ready for you to open the Node 2 overhead hatch.
Okay, that should work.
So, Station on 2 for Sophie Storage.
That's also fantastic.
Yeah, so it's like when you're moving out and you have a couple random items left, you're not sure what to do with them. I've got in a bag a bunch of non-tethered caps from the water connectors and such, and the accumulator. I just found in the procedure, none of these are listed on the stone out, I just found in the procedure that the accumulator goes into a chamber bag and the Sophie kit I sent up a Ziploc bag. I'm wondering if you have a location for the caps. I can give you an inventory of those caps. It's both ends of each electrical connector and then one each of the water connector caps.
And we definitely can relate to those leftover cap connectors when we're trying to move stuff around. We are checking. I'll get back to you.
Thanks.
Station on to the Node 2 overhead hatch is open.
Copy.
And Ann hustles back with you on 2 for answer of chat.
Thank you, on 2.
Okay, so the accumulator is going to go into the Sophie kit directly. Within that chamber bag or kit, we are going to put the cap in that, and then that goes in the Sophie kit.
Great, and all those kits and bags are just Ziplocs, is that correct?
Yeah.
The Sophie kit is just a big Ziploc.
Sunset for WHC.
Go for WHC.
We're set 4.12, and I don't see a tethered cap for the SM on the clock separator. I think we're going to be connecting the new piping soon, so I'm just going to press, but I can't find a tethered cap in there.
Copy, checking. And back with you, Nicole. Yeah, we are good not having the cap on. Briefly, we'll take a note of that. And as one quick go back, we did look at some pictures for that connector you mentioned to us earlier. And the procedure, the picture in the procedure is old, and some newer pictures showed that what you described was correct. So everything is as we expect now.
Copy that. Thank you. Station on 2 for WHC, the pre-routing is complete.
Copy.
Houston Station, dispatch, they're looking for a go to close the node 2 Zeta patch.
Mixing is complete, you are go to close patch.
Roger, in work. Houston Station on 2, the node 2 overhead hatch is closed.
Houston copies.
Houston Station on 2 for WHC activation 3.4.
Yeah, for step 3.4, you are go to remain integrated with the PA.
Copy, integrated with the PA, thanks.
Houston Station, spaceground 2.
Go ahead on 2.
Hey, just letting you know, I am doing the OCC 2 power down, and the procedures had me turn off switch 4 of the inverter, 1038, to number 1038. This is step 6.2. I did turn it off, but that's actually the wrong power chain. That one led to the RFID logistics reader. So requesting to turn that back on, and actually the correct power chain is off of a different inverter, serial number 1040, but the switch number is correct.
We're checking. And back with you, Johnny. Yes, we like your plan to power back on the RFID reader and then turn off the OCT2.
Okay, we'll do. I should have checked the power chain before turning that off. But and I do think that switch 4 inverter 123 used to be the OCT2 because I can see a piece of tape saying OCT2. I'm not sure when we changed that. But if you do end up using 1040 switch to 4, I can switch the tape up.
Yeah, we copy the tape. We'll take that back and figure out what the permanent config will be in. So you can leave the tape as is for now.
Cool, thanks. Station on 2, the WHC piping R&R is complete.
Excellent work, thank you.
Station on 2 for HDSDI cable.
Go ahead, Ann.
Hey, the startup hasn't been grabbing any cable. I grabbed a cable, and I was just about to start routing it. I noticed there's a little tag on it that says suspect. So I was wondering if you guys could check your records on serial number 1006 and tell me if that's a good cable or a bad cable.
If possible, can you? Is there one available that does not have a suspect tab on it? That may be simpler.
I will go back to the CKD and see if I can find another one. Station on 2 for the main station.
With the intent?
Okay, I'm complete with the cleaning, and I would call the debris very light, like light to minimal to no debris on the inlet stick.
Stick up, yep.
Station on 2 for camcorder cable.
Go for camcorder cable.
Node 2, number 1. Camera is now connected with brand new cable, serial number 1012, and it is turned on and face the wall to go for checkouts. And just for your tracking purposes, in that CTB, both 1006 and 1010 are marked as suspect.
All right, copy all. Thank you for that info. We're routing it now, and we'll take a look.
Copy.
All right, and we do see video, so that was successful changeout, and we'll leave it up for a few minutes and make sure it's steady.
Okay, and the tapless item just has me labeling 1008 as also suspect. Would you like me to put that with a suspect studies or leave it tensored at S6 for the procedure?
Checking. And Ann, we are actually would like you to trash that old video cable.
Copy, I'll scratch 1008 in the hardware trash.
Good read back.
Houston Station on 2 for the WC flush tank fill, set 2.2.
We're here.
Hey, looking for your go in 2.2 to continue.
And you are go to continue.
What do you think?
Houston Station on 2 for switch.
Go for stowage.
Hey, Charles, there is a double call back. Serial number 1040. I'm still at JPM 1, Tech 1, a sensor SpaceX 32. And I wonder if I can move it to a different location since there is a three location for one of the action crew members.
Okay, we copy wanting to move it. Do you have a suggested location?
Hey, it's up to us. I can relocated to another route in JPM, and I will let you know.
Yeah, Doc, that works for us. Move it to another route in JPM and tell us where to put it.
Yes, I'll schedule on two for a call back.
Go ahead, Doc.
Okay, I moved it to a JPM 1417 area without blocking any other hardware or ventilation system.
All right, we copy forward 7. Sounds good to us.
Houston Station on 2 for WHC.
Go for WHC.
I'm in step 3.7. Say the post-flight analysis bag is about 60% full. No off-nominal findings. It's all nice and clear. And then the number of uses is 87,061. So 87,061.
Copy all. Thank you.
Station on 2 for SSC 4.
Go ahead on SSC 4.
Yeah, I think the Ethernet cable was just loose. I was able to reseat it, and it looks like it's connected now. And then I just put a little piece of tape on there to keep it connected while it's on the cupola.
All right, that is a great config. Thank you.
Station Space Ground 2 for Johnny's computer.
Go ahead, Johnny.
I inspected the battery. It did appear to be seated. I nonetheless turned the computer off, unseated the battery, then reseated it and turned it back on.
Okay, yeah, that was probably going to be our next step anyway, so thank you.